The following is another KXPN Sports presentation. KXPN Sports presents high school football. Today, it's live coverage of the Class D1 state semifinals in Overton as the Overton Eagles battle the Hemingford Bobcats. High school football on ESPN Radio is brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club.
Nate wants to throw. He's got a man downfield and has completed the 10, the 5, and staying in for the touchdown is Jacob Olmstead.
Today's matchup features a battle of unbeatens, with the winner heading to Monday's state final at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Hemingford is looking for their first state finals appearance, while Overton was last there when they won it all back in 2006. It's the Bobcats and Eagles coming up next, but first the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll join ESPN Radio's Randy Bushkar and Jeff Babel live from Overton right after this word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit New Tech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Overton. We are bathed in beautiful sunshine as one of these two teams, either the Overton Eagles or the Hemingford Bobcats, going to suffer their first loss of the year, but more importantly, one of these two teams is going to punch the ticket and head to the state football finals in Lincoln. Randy Bushcutter, Jeff Babel with you here on ESPN. So glad you could join us for high school football, and a beautiful day for football it is. And I'll tell you what, Hemingford travels very, very well. We know Overton's going to be well represented. There's going to be a lot of energy here in Overton today.
Yeah, they got a long drive, Randy, but they were here last week when they were at Elm Creek when we had them on the Superstation. They're here early. They're here loud. When they're here, they like to follow their team, a good team, an undefeated team so far this season. And they've got all the confidence in the world to think they can win this one and go another 2 hours down the road to Lincoln.
And they were very excited, obviously, with the win last week against Elm Creek were the Bobcats, and they certainly feel like they can do it. They might be a year away. They lack some of that experience, some of that savvy that I think is going to be very beneficial here for Overton, because this is a much more veteran ball club and a program that kind of expects to make it to Lincoln versus Hemingford, which is a program that hopes to make it to Lincoln, and I think there's a huge difference.
Well, yeah, and you can look at it this way, where Hemingford, you know, at the beginning of the year, those freshmen are freshmen, those seniors are seniors. But by the end of the year, they've got 10 games under the belt. They're going to start playing like sophomores. Those sophomores might start playing like juniors. And Skinner, their best running back, he's a junior. By now, he's got over 1,500 rushing yards. They're going to give him the ball a lot tonight if they have any chance to beat Overton and go to Lincoln.
These two teams are very, very similar in terms of how they like to throw to set up. They run to set up those mm-hmm. occasional throws. Both teams predominantly are going to be running the football. And why not when you have Hayden Cahoy running for almost 1,600 yards, probably his first carry of the game. He'll get at the 1,600-yard mark, running at about 150 yards per game. And you mentioned that also another 150-yard per game running back for the Bobcats, as, again, they really like to run it. And Skinner has run for a little bit over 1,600 yards. So, again, very comparable in what these two teams want to do offensively, and that is establish that run game and occasionally throw the football. But their approaches on defense can be a little bit different.
Yeah, and Hemingford, a team that likes to bring the blitzes, Randy. They like to blitz one linebacker, sometimes two, or even a safety blitz. And so last week against Elm Creek, they used it. They didn't let the Elm Creek quarterback, you know, get the ball off when he would like to. So if you're Overton, that'll be the key, I think, today. If you can pick up those blitzes and sustain, and if you run to set up the play action, those passes will be there. And if they're there, that could be the key of the ballgame.
And Joel Schaefer, the quarterback for Overton, a very veteran quarterback. I think he's going to be very composed when that blitz comes, and you know that they're going to be prepared for that. So to me, the key centers on, and you can't really pin it on one thing, but more than anything else, I think how Overton handles the blitz is going to determine this game. Uh-huh. And be honest with you, I think a savvy team like Overton, I think they are going to be able to handle that blitz, and I really like their chances at home making it back to the state football finals.
And one other thing I want to say here, you know, if we're looking at the flag right now, it didn't seem like the wind was going to be too much of a factor, but right now it's blown a little bit, so special teams, field position could factor in as well.
Absolutely. And again, turnovers is always a key, and the wind can have a big factor in that, especially when it comes, as you said, into that kicking game. Well, we're going to take a quick break when we come back with our New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, proudly bringing your pregame show brought to you by Terry and Jason Stark and New Tech Seed. New Tech is your yield leader. Contact a New Tech Seed dealer near you for all your seed needs. Proud to support our area athletes, coaches, and teams in and out of the game. Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with the two head coaches. We'll begin with Hemingford head coach Jordan Haas. We'll talk with the coach right after this.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
Overton Sand and Gravel is a proud supporter of this broadcast and all area high school teams in and out of the game this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for when you need it rocked. Overton Sand and Gravel is the only name you need to remember. They carry everything from crushed concrete to river rock, decorative rocks, and gravel for driveways. There's no job too big or small for Overton Sand and Gravel, commercial or residential, concrete, and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and surrounding areas.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on ESPN Radio as we catch up with the head football coach at Hemingford for the second consecutive week, Jordan Haas. And coach, congratulations on the win. I guess if you're going to travel that far, it just as well because you got a winning football team.
Yeah. If you're traveling in November, it means you're still playing football. So we'll take the travel and everything that comes with it because we're still playing football.
Obviously, a lot of the folks out here wanted to have the Elm Creek Overton rematch, and you put a wrench in that one, and not so much that you took care of Elm Creek on their home field by a couple of touchdowns. Overton was only able to do that by 6 points earlier this season. Your kids have to just have a ton of confidence coming into this ball game.
Yeah, we've been playing good football since early September, so they got confidence from that. I don't know. It's hard to compare scores when you get to one or two touchdowns in our football game. But we feel like we match up with Overton and we're ready to go.
Well, let's recap a little bit of the Elm Creek game last week. This was a physical, get after it type of football game, and you really controlled the second half, limiting Elm Creek to like 29 total yards in the second half. Did you have to change anything up or make adjustments as the game went along, or did you guys just simply play a little bit better?
Oh, I think we played a little bit better, and really, we didn't play too bad the first half. They had a couple big plays, and a lot of it was just couple missed tackles here or there that led to their big plays. We felt when we went into halftime, we felt if we tackled a little bit better that we would be able to control them a little bit, their offense, just a little bit. They have some excellent weapons, Elm Creek did, and we felt that if we were able to tackle, that we could have a great chance to win in the second half.
You guys don't throw the ball much, and you don't have to throw the ball much, but it was kind of ironic that all your scoring came through the air, not a lot of deep passes. Tell us how that was the decision and why that worked for you last week.
Well, we have thrown the ball throughout the course of the year, but when you're running the ball and you're picking up 5 yards of carry, there's no need to put the ball in the air and risk bad things happening. So, we kind of avoided the passing game just a little bit, not intentionally, but we felt that as good as we were running the ball, that play action game would work, and that's what ended up working for us for our first touchdown. And then the second and third touchdown, were just our kids going out and making plays in big situations.
For the fans that didn't get to see the game or find out about your football team last week, Ethan Skinner obviously is solid, and he had about as solid of a football game as you can have. You worked him on the ground, 136 yards, 23 carries. What are you seeing from the Overton defense? Can Ethan have that kind of game again?
Well, it all starts up front. If we're able to cover guys up on the defensive line and get to the second level, then there's no doubt that Ethan can have that type of game. But it's awfully hard to run the ball if you can't block the other team. So our main focus isn't so much on Ethan running the ball or Brady running the ball. It's more about making sure that we take care of business up front.
Talking with Hemmingford Bobcat head football coach Jordan Haas here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. How do you see Overton compared to Elm Creek for the fans here? Are they very similar, or are they vastly different, or are they somewhere in between?
I'd say somewhere in between. Just from the films that we've watched, they're a good football team. So was Elm Creek. Both of those teams are very high quality, very well coached, well disciplined. Overton runs the ball extremely well, and they're not afraid to air it out a little bit too. So they're a balanced football team. I guess they're similar to Elm Creek in the fact how well they run the ball and how well they've been playing defense. And then they're a little bit different than Elm Creek with I guess their pass attack, at least against us, from what we've seen and what we kind of expect. We expect Overton to try and air it out just a little bit more.
Jordan, does Overton do anything that you really haven't seen this year or that you didn't expect to see when you watched them on film?
Well, when you've played 11 football games, you've seen quite a bit of stuff. And so nothing really jumps out scheme-wise at you, or they run plays that you haven't ever seen before. They're just a good, hard-nosed football team. They are straightforward. They'll come at you, and they do what they do, and they do it extremely well.
And Jordan Haas, the head football coach at Hemmingford, with us for just another minute here. You mentioned Overton's passing game. You guys also came through strong in your secondary against Elm Creek. Do you consider that a strength of your football team, that if somebody does throw it, you know that you're going to have it covered?
Well, we feel pretty confident with our secondary. That's why we run as much man coverage as we do. And a lot of the secondary, we try and make it easy on the secondary, not having to cover as long, by trying to bring a lot of pressure and blitz quite a bit. So I guess it kind of works together that we want to get pressure on the quarterback and bring a lot of heat and a lot of blitzes, so that our secondary doesn't have to cover as long, and maybe the throws aren't as crisp or the timing's off, and that gives us a little bit better chance as well.
Jordan, I think we touched on it when we talked last week. Hemmingford's never been this far in the football playoffs, so this week you're another step farther than you've ever been. Is there anything, even from a coaching standpoint, nerves-wise, or is it any different to getting ready now that you're just one game away from possibly going all the way to Memorial Stadium?
Well, there's definitely that thought is in the back of your mind, but we're just so excited to be playing football still that I really honestly don't think that we've really taken a step back and kind of looked at where we're at. We're just kind of in the heat of the battle, and we keep playing every 6 days in the playoffs, and hopefully we'll get another one and we'll be able to play on. But I think after the season's done, we'll kind of take a step back, kind of look and see what we've accomplished. But right now, in the heat of the battle, we just want to keep playing ball.
Well, Coach, it's been a pleasure chatting with you the last couple of weeks. Congratulations on the run so far, and this should be a great football game. Best of luck to you and the Bobcats.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug. Appreciate the press.
That's Hemmingford head football coach Jordan Haas, and we'll be back and talk with Overton coach Paul Huizenfeld as we get ready for the state D1 semifinals right after this timeout on the New Tech Seed pregame show.
This sports broadcast is made possible in part by Kappa Grain in Elm Creek. Did you know that Kappa has a way for you to save time, money, and get the best prices for your grain and have records of it? With their online offer center powered by DNT MarketSpace. See KappaGrains.com. Make sure you're getting what you deserve for all your hard work and dedication. Kappa takes great pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. Best of luck to all the area athletes from Kappa Grains. Whether you're filling your tank, your tummy, or you're in need of a vehicle repair, the place you need to know is Flatwater Food and Automotive in Overton. Flatwater is your one-stop shop for everything you need to keep your trip on schedule, whether it's a road trip or just a trip across town. So come have a coffee, tea, or soda and enjoy the warm, friendly atmosphere you've come to expect from this small-town store located on Highway 30 in Overton. Best of luck, Eagles, from Flatwater Food and Automotive, the other FFA.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show as we get ready for this afternoon's state semifinal. And Overton is no stranger to the state semifinals. Paul Huesenfeldt joins us here on the pregame show. And, Coach, congratulations on just an outstanding season so far. What's the feeling like right now around Overton?
Everybody's really excited. I think the whole town's, they're painting windows and everything else. I mean, everybody's just really excited, and I think they're just happy to be back at this point.
Take me into that, too, because the program has been built to such a point where this is what you kind of look for every single year. Is there pressure to get back to that point every single year?
I think there's pressure no matter where you're at, Coach, and I think every coach has that pressure. You know, wants that to be able to be, state champs and working towards it. And some of that I invite. I enjoy the pressure because it's if you don't have that, you're not really working to do anything good. So I'm enjoying it, and I think the town is too.
You knew you were going to have, or a lot of people thought you were going to have a very solid year because you had a lot of kids coming back. Take me to where you knew things were clicking this year. Was it summer camp? Was it fall camp? Or was it somewhere during the season?
It's been from the beginning or the end of last year. These kids have one goal, and they worked hard for it all year long. As soon as our season ended last year, they said, that's it. It's not happening next year, and we're taking it all the way. So they've really worked hard to do that.
We're talking with Paul Huesenfeldt, the head football coach at Overton. They're 11-0. And were you surprised that you're not going to have a rematch here with Elm Creek?
It would have been nice to have that rematch with Elm Creek, but I wouldn't say surprised. I think that both were really, really good ball teams, and Hemingford just took advantage of some stuff that Elm Creek gave them. So both great ball teams.
Well, let's take a look at what you think of Hemingford. This is the second straight week that we're going to get to see them. I kind of thought, talking to Coach Haas last week, that maybe – they had made a big run this year and were a year away with only three seniors, but apparently that's not the case.
Yeah, they're a very good squad, very athletic, probably not as big as us on the line, but very athletic, downhill. They're very aggressive on defense, and offensively they got some speed. So we got to contain that speed and control that line of scrimmage.
Two big running backs. They've got a nice one in Skinner, and, of course, you've got one in Hayden Cahoy. Do they look similar to you?
Oh, they're about the same size built, I would say. Great running backs, and you can't have great running backs without some great linemen. And so they have that, and we have that. And so it's going to be a very exciting match.
Paul, did you have to make any changes as the season progressed with your football team, whether it was blocking scheme, whether it was what you did to expand the offense, you got deeper into the playoffs here, or have you just gotten better at what you've been doing over the few years?
Well, you always make changes. You always make an adjustment, but we've really stayed true to what we're good at, and that's the power run game. And so we've been working that all year long. We have pass plays. We're good at passing, but what's the point of passing when you can run? And that's what we've kind of been doing all year long.
Yeah, about every three times that Joel completes a pass, it's into the end zone. And, again, it just isn't anything different than what we've seen for years. But tell me a little bit about what Joel brings to you at that quarterback position.
Well, he's just that triple threat. He can pass, he can run, and he can control the offense the way you want him to. So, having that triple threat, makes us have a good option game. You got to keep off us a little bit, otherwise – he's going to burn you with a pass or something. So it's just great. Joel's done a great job commanding the office this year.
Paul Huesenfeldt with us for another couple moments here, the head football coach at Overton. Take me through the playoffs. You've really kind of dominated every single one of your football games. Do you feel that there's a spot that you're even better at now than you were 3 weeks ago?
I don't know if we're a better spot, but I think, our kids' confidence is high. They know they're one game away from where they wanted to be. And so, it's a lot of pressure, but at the same time, the kids they understand where they're at and what they need to do to get to the next level. So,
well, let's talk about your defense. It looked like Hemingford can be slowed down a little bit. Obviously, their scores during the regular season out in the panhandle were astronomical. What did you see maybe even just last week that Elm Creek was able to do that you can incorporate?
Well, I think, just doing the fundamentals against them. I think that's where, you know, maybe a little bit of Elm Creek went away from, just fundamental defense and, you know, making sure you wrapping him up and, you know, containing him from the outside and make sure he doesn't get outside and get loose and make sure Woods doesn't get loose. And, you know, it's a game of fundamentals, and we got to make sure we're fundamentally sound against them.
Paul, has every kid on your team made a tackle this year? It sure looks like it.
You know, those kids, they've been working hard, and it's nice that we've had a chance to, you know, get our younger guys in a lot of those games. So, I mean, there's a couple of games that we got them in, you know, already on in second quarter. So it's just a great feeling that to know that you those kids got a lot of playing time, and not only JV games, but in varsity games. So it's good, and we're rotating people in and making sure people know how to tackle. So
a lot of these kids have obviously been 2-3 year starters. Zach Zaleski right now, numbers wise, leads you in tackles, but as I mentioned, it's just so balanced there with Hodson and Callahan and Ryan. There's so many of them that are doing things for you, but talk about the maturity and the development maybe you've seen from these juniors and seniors that 2 years ago were kind of taking their lumps.
You know, 2 years ago, they had to step into some roles, maybe that they weren't ready for, but they played them. They played them with some decency, and you know, they're ready. They just, you know, they've been working since sophomores so hard, and, you know, Zaleski's been working since he's a freshman. He went from, you know, lifting 900 pounds in four lifts to now he's going to break 1,300 this year. So, I mean, he's just been an outstanding lifter, and that leads to a great football player for us. So, you know, we really push the weights and staying in shape and making sure that we're fundamentally sound. So, yeah, this group has been working hard for us all year long.
Well, you don't have to say anything to the kids that they know they're 48 minutes away from getting a chance to play at Memorial Stadium. Emotions-wise, how is this football team? Do you have to make sure that they're not overhyped for the game, or have they been pretty even keel so far?
Well, just like we've done all year long, we focus on one game at a time, and that's the biggest thing is, you know, we preach is having them focus on this game and this game only, and we'll work to the next game. So if we can just focus, play our ball game, I think we have a great chance of making it to Memorial Stadium.
Well, let's see if we can do it again next week, Paul. A great season, one win away from a state championship berth, and thank you so much for the time here on ESPN Radio. Best of luck today.
Thank you.
That's Paul Huesenfeldt, the head football coach at Overton, and we will be back to give you the starting lineups for today's state semifinal matchup between Overton and Hemingford right after this on the New Tech Seed pregame show.
You need power, efficiency, and dependability from your tractor, and when it's time to trade, you want the best resale value. That's what you get with Case IH Magnum Tractors from Fairbanks International. With 9 models, Case IH Magnums set productivity standards the competition just can't match. For a limited time, you can finance your new Magnum with an interest waiver for 12 months. For power, efficiency, ease of maintenance, comfort, and financing, see the Case IH Magnum from Fairbanks International. Better solutions.
Quick out, 35-40, down the right sideline.
Tremendous impact.
He's at the 15, at the 10, he's at the 5-yard line, touchdown.
Great frequency and a big score with local fans.
Lunges and goes in for the touchdown.
When you advertise on Platte River Radio's huge array of high school sports broadcasts.
High school volleyball is on the air.
If we haven't contacted you yet, give us a nudge. We'd be proud to call your business our sponsor. Send an email to sportsmarketing@espnsuperstation.com or call 308-236-9900.
10-5, touchdown.
Welcome back here to Overton. Let's give you our starting lineup brought to you by 5 Points Bank. Better choices, better service. Welcome to 5 Points Bank, a very proud sponsor of all of our area teams and coaches. 5 Points Bank can take your banking and make it simple. 5 Points Bank in Kearney, the better bank. The starting lineup here for the Hemingford Bobcats, who come in with a perfect record. Their starting lineup looks like this. Blake Hansen, a 6'1 senior, will start at center. The guards are Asa Carlson, a 6 foot, 225 pound junior. At sophomore, Tanner Benge, he'll play at guard, 6'2, 245 pounds. One of the tight ends will be Colt Foster, a junior. He's 6'3, 210. The other tight end will be Kyle Kamen. He is 6 foot, 200 pounds, and a senior. Brady Turek will start in the backfield. He's 5'9, 165 pounds, and a junior. The star running back is Ethan Skinner. Skinner, a junior. He's 5'11", 190 pounds. And on the season, he's run for 1,625 yards, right at 148 yards per contest on the season. And the quarterback is Matthew Wood, a junior. He is 6'2", 195 pounds. And on the season, he has hit 59 of 91 passes for about 108 yards per ball game, a total of 32 touchdowns on the year. Now for the undefeated Overton Eagles, and their starting lineup will look like this. At tight end will be Chase Horn. He is a senior, 5'11", 190 pounds. On the line will be J.D. Callahan, a senior, 6'2", 250. Brad Davey on the line. He's 5'9", 165 pounds. Zach Zaleski, a junior. He is 6', 270 pounds. Tanner Ryan and Logan Kaiser. It wasn't determined who was going to make the start today, but we'll announce both of them. Kaiser is 5'11", 165 pounds. Ryan is 6'4", 215 pounds. Hayden Cahoy, the running back, he is a senior, 195 pounds and a 6 foot tall. And on the year, Cahoy has run for 1,598 yards, again, about 145 yards per contest. And the quarterback is going to be Joel Schaefer. Schaefer, a senior, he is 6 foot, 170 pounds. And on the year, Schaefer has thrown for 15 touchdowns on the year. He is 50 of 94 for a total of 648 yards. But again, it's the timeliness of those passes that make a big difference for the Overton Eagles. Again, your starting lineup brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Of course, Overton has won state championships in 06. They were runner-up in 94, 03, and 04. And this is the farthest that the Hemingford Bobcats have ever been in the state playoffs. They have never been in the semifinals before. In fact, last week was as far as they'd ever been when they won in Elm Creek to make it here. And again, they're hoping to make one more trip, going a little bit further east this time out. Hemingford in the playoffs. Won their first round matchup against Franklin. No problem there, 64-8. And then, of course, they got past CWC by a score of 42-18. And then over Elm Creek last week, 20-7. Overton's path to this, they're the top seed. They had no problem with Clearwater Orchard, 65-14. And then over Palmer, 38-14. And then last week, winning against Twin Loop, a final of 42-13. And we'll have the kick between the Bobcats and the Eagles in the D1 playoffs when we come back right after this.
At Nebraska Land National Bank, local people, local decisions, local ownership is not just our tagline. It's how we do business. Our experienced team of professionals care about this community, and they care about you, our customer. We strive to provide you with the best in customer service and quick local decisions. Visit us at NebraskaLandBank.com or stop by today at 46th Street and 2nd Avenue. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Member FDIC.
Nebraska Land National Bank.
Five Points Bank. We're proud our bankers have the ability to take care of customers in the Kearney area. One of our bank's true differences is our bankers have a true Kearney connection, important in providing the best in banking. Our staff is proud they've lived in Kearney for years. Many have been lifelong residents. Having a true Kearney connection means caring and being involved in the community and committed to making banking work for the people of Kearney. Bank with Five Points Bank, the better bank, the bank with a true Kearney connection. Good things will happen.
At Thunderhead Brewing, we're known for, well, our brewing. Now, if we put that much thought into what we put in your glass, just think of the care we take in what we put on your plate. Relaxed family dining with delicious appetizers, pizzas, and calzones all made in a wood stone brick oven. Before the game, after the game, weekends, weekdays, lunch, or dinner, Thunderhead offers great casual dining with a unique menu in a family-friendly environment. See what we've got brewing. Cooking. Thunderhead Brewing, just east of Central Avenue on 21st Street, Kearney.
You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show, proudly brought to you by Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed. New Tech is your yield leader. Contact a New Tech Seed dealer near you for all your seed needs. Proud to support our area athletes, coaches, and teams in and out of the game. Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed. Hemingford will kick things off here to get things started in Overton, and so the Eagles will have their hands on the football first. And Jeff, it's an opportunity here for the Eagles to kind of make a statement to start the game.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. So they'll give the ball away here. If they'll bring the blitz right away, you know, those big offensive linemen up there for Overton, Zaleski, Callahan, Horn, and Davey, see how they handle the pressure right away.
Matthew Wood with the kickoff. It is a short one, and it is going to go out of bounds at about the 30-yard line. That's about a 20-yard kick is all. Now they can have a 5-yard penalty, I believe, from that spot or take it at that spot, and that's where they'll take it. There is a flag on the play, obviously, for having it go out of bounds. And that was a very short kick. I don't know if that was intended to have be kind of a modified, a kind of a hybrid onside kick. In any event, it's going to be pretty good field position to start things off here for Overton.
You know, we'd seen last week Hemingford, they had a couple touchbacks, so I would think it was probably a designed kickoff there, Randy, because we had seen, especially with that wind, the ability to kick it into the end zone.
So the ball will be at the 29-yard line, first and 10, and in that I formation will be the Eagles. Schaefer is under center, and he's just going to hand it off to his tailback, Kahoy. Kahoy coming right up the middle. Not much room to run there. Kamen is part of the greeting party right at the 31-yard line, and he'll push the pile out to the 32, so that'll be a gain of three. Keeps him on schedule for Overton. That's the positive thing, but the negative, there really wasn't much room to pop through there at all.
And it looked like maybe they would have only gained a yard or two there, so to get three out of there for Kahoy, nice job keeping his legs moving.
And Kahoy will be in the eye as Schaefer will be at quarterback, and there's a fumbled snap. It's on the ground, and I think Hemingford came up with it, and they did. A fumbled exchange, and it's recovered by the Bobcats. That's Blake Hansen who comes out of there with it. And just like that, lightning striking, and the Bobcats, they'll have it first and 10 at the 29-yard line. So no positive yards at all there for Overton, and they turn it over in three plays.
No, and that was one of the keys. We had said, you know, the ability to pick up those blitzes and the turnover battle, and so far Hemingford plus one on those turnovers.
So they'll have it now first and 10 from the 29. This will be their first possession of the ball game as we've only played about 30 seconds. And Wood will hand it off. Trying to bounce through there is going to be Skinner. Skinner goes off tackle, and he's going to be stopped short of the 26-yard line. And the first one there is big old Zachary Zaleski, 270 pounds, kind of making a pile. And that'll be a gain only of about three.
You know, and Skinner, they're going to try and feed him the ball quite a bit tonight. Last week, he had 22 carries, 118 yards.
Again, Kahoy and Skinner running for almost identical number of yards throughout the course of the year. Both of them right at about 145, 147 yards per game. They'll hand it off again to Skinner. There is no room to go whatsoever there. You can pick an area. You can pick any of the Eagles because there was a pretty good collection of them there. But we'll give credit to the biggins up front, J.D. Callahan, in on the tackle. Also getting a chunk of that was Brad Davey. There just wasn't anywhere at all to go for Skinner.
No, not at all. Probably just a gain of one there. So it'll be third down and six here. So decision-making, you're probably already in four down territory.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to pump from here, and I don't think they got the leg to kick that far of a field goal, especially with this wind. It's 16 miles an hour solid, and there's a little bit of movement on the left side, and that's going to cost the Bobcats 5 yards as the wide receiver on the left forgot the count and got a little bit of a running start. You can do that in Canada. You can't do that here.
Yeah, and that was Turk there, and we had seen him last week. He had a few nice catches out of the backfield as well as receiver. It looked like he was going to try to go one-on-one there on the left side. Just got a quick head start and sent him back 5 more yards.
So, again, Wood, I believe, yeah, he'll be out of the shotgun formation, and they'll have two wideouts to the right, one in the slot and the other one clear out to the right side. Rolling out that way is Wood. He's looking to throw. He throws it in underneath, and it'll go off the hands of Ethan Skinner, and incomplete. Been awfully close to a first down had he made that reception. There was a little bit of a seam there, and it just went through the four and the five, and it'll fall incomplete. And with that five-yard penalty, now it's going to be fourth and about 12. Ball knows the football right at the 30-yard line.
Yeah, and Skinner just hit him right in the hands. Looked like he had a chance to catch it, turn it upfield, but once it hit his hands, he had almost was thinking about the hit or maybe just thinking about the first down marker instead of securing the catch. So falls in complete fourth down.
So big play here for both teams because if you hold them here, that turnover doesn't hurt you. Shotgun formation for Wood. He's got time to throw. He's going to throw it deep on that left side, and it is incomplete. Pretty good coverage over there, but then a late break on the ball by Brady Turek, and Turek almost with a one-handed grab in the end zone. It would have been probably a touchdown, but good coverage on the near side here by Joel Schaefer. Schaefer was right with him, but just a last-second break on the ball by Turek, and he almost came away with a circus catch.
And it looked like Turek had stopped to look to see where the ball was and then made that late break, like you had said. If he maybe just would have kept going, could have had a chance with Clay, but great coverage there by Overton, forcing the turnover.
And you wouldn't want the interception there because you'd have it at the 15-yard line. Instead, it's first and 10 from the 30. Kahoy right up the middle, and he keeps those legs a-churning. He's going to gain about 3.5 yards. This will be the second possession of the afternoon here for the Overton Eagles. They fumbled away the first one, and now they've got it second and 7 from right at the 33-yard line. Yeah, Hemmingford, the longer they stay in this game, the more they're going to believe. They gained a lot of confidence with their road win last week at Elm Creek. And so playing another Four County Conference team is not putting any scare into them at all. Hand off, or now the pitch to the outside. Cahoy having trouble grabbing the handle, but he's finally able to pick it up. And fortunately, there wasn't much defense pressure right away. He was able to get to the outside corner. He's a little short of the first down, but had there been a hit there, that had been a fumble because he was having trouble getting his hands on it. And that was a play that just looked a little weird from the start because Schaefer ran into his fullback and almost turned the ball over there.
Yeah, and a dangerous pitch play. We had seen sometimes those options, they don't work. And basically, Cahoy never even had the ball basically until he was almost out of bounds when he finally secured possession of that ball.
It's going to be third and about three here. As they're going to say he stepped out of bounds with that left foot. Now Cahoy tried to cut back to the inside, trying to get to the 40. He's going to be a little short of that, so it's going to be short of midfield and also short of the first down marker. They got to get the back end of the football, probably to touch the 40-yard line, and the ball's right at the 39. So you got about a yard in the length of a football from having a first down. But what wind there is going to be somewhat in the face of the kicker. So I would not at all be surprised to see Overton go for it here, even though they're on their side of the field. But they are going to go in punt formation here. Schaefer is the one guy back deep in punt formation here for the Eagles. And they will snap it to him. He will punt it. And it is a high kick, and it is going to go out of bounds. It was about 3 yards out of bounds at the 15-yard line, so now they'll line it up and see where it went out of bounds. And they're still walking up. They're at the 21, 22, and the official now will be told to stop once it gets to about the 22-and-a-half-yard line. So that's where it'll be first and 10 here for Hemmingford. So, again, for Overton, they haven't really faced those blitzes that we saw Hemmingford do so much last week. But they also haven't got that offense going either. They turned it over their first possession. They got a little bit of something going there, but failed to get the first down. Here's the pitch to Skinner on that right side, and Skinner will get out there, and he'll skate over there to a gain maybe of about two on the play. He'll set up now second and eight. Hemmingford obviously crashing the party here for the Fort Kearney Conference a little bit. Both these teams, both Elm Creek and Overton, we're kind of looking forward to the opportunity of having a rematch and having a couple of Fort Kearney Conference teams playing the semifinal. But Hemmingford crashed that party, and Overton's going to do their best today to make sure they don't crash it entirely. Out of the I formation, it's going to be Skinner in the I. Wood's going to drop back to pass, throws it down the middle, and it is incomplete. Kyle Kamen had it for a moment and dropped the football. And so Woods kind of suffered the fate of having a couple of pretty good passes drop.
Yeah, right now, Randy, he's 0 of 3 passing, but he's had three throws basically on target, and it's just a couple drops and a late break. Otherwise, you know, Wood, he's actually throwing the ball pretty well tonight.
Yeah, the hands have been on the ball on all three of those throws. And now he'll be in that pistol formation. And they fake the handoff. He's looking to throw. He's rolling to his right here on third and eight. Throws it across the field. It's going to be caught. Little ball fake. First down here for Colt Foster. Foster breaks another tackle, and he'll bring it across the 35 to about the 33-yard line. So that's going to be a nice gain of about 15 on the play. First and 10 here for the Bobcats.
Yeah, and he just rolled right, Randy. The Overton pressure got to him there. Threw across his body. You don't like to see that a lot, but Foster came back to the ball, made the catch, then made a nice move to get another 10 to 15 yards, or 5 to 10 yards there, excuse me, in the second level.
That's the difference from the 11-man game to the 8-man game. That's less of a sin. That's less of a crime in the 8-man game. There's fewer guys to make that interception. Skinner trying to get the corner and does. He's down the sideline, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds at about the 25. And coming back on that backside was Brad Davey. If Davey isn't quick enough to make that read and get over there, he might have taken it to the house. That's a gain of about 8.5, and it'll be 2nd and 1.5 here for the Bobcats, who have something going.
And Skinner getting him on the edge. He's a big boy, Brandy, but he's got nice speed for his size. We've seen him try to get him on that pitch play a couple times, just get his momentum going. He found the corner there and picked up 8 big yards.
So it will be 2nd and very manageable, as Wood will be in that pistol. They'll hand it off to Skinner. Skinner just going off that left side, and he pushes the pile forward, and we'll see where they spot it. Looks like it's going to be very, very close. Overton doing what I think is kind of a smart thing here, and that is they're starting to really rip at the football, trying to force the turnover. Might have cost them the ability to stop them short of the first down, and we do have a player down here for the Eagles. On his hands and knees is Zachary Zaleski, and Zaleski looks like maybe he got got hit, but now he is limping a little bit. So it might be an injury on the knee or the ankle or something. But the more he walks, the more weight he's able to put on it. So that is a good sign as he comes over to the sideline. He'll be first and 10 from about the 22-yard line here for the Bobcats in what it most assuredly is four-down territory. No score, 7:22 to go in the first quarter. This is the second possession for the Bobcats. Under center here is going to be Wood. Wood will hand it off on a little draw play, and coming off that left side is going to be Ethan Skinner. And Skinner runs a long way to gain maybe about 3 yards as he took a long angle. Actually, he got a little bit better spot than I thought. He got about 4 on the play.
And they fed the ball to Skinner 6 times, Randy. They've thrown it 4 times. We have yet to call Turek's name at all, so you might see a nice little jet sweep here to Turek to try and get him if they're keen on Skinner.
Yeah, and again, you're setting things up here with your run, and you'll pitch it out to Skinner. Skinner on that right side. He's going to be hit short of the first down sticks, but he spins forward, and he's got enough for the first down. It'll be first and 10 from the 11 here for the Bobcats as they have taken this one down the field. This drive started on the 22. It'll be first and 10 from, we'll call it the 11 here, and they're going to go no huddle. They're playing a little pace here as Wood will hand it off to Skinner. Skinner on that right side cuts back to the inside. Chase Horn is there to try to wrap him up, and again, they're trying to tackle that football, trying to rip it out of there, and Skinner keeps those legs driving forward, and he gains 3.
Yeah, and they're running the no huddle here, just trying to keep Overton, you know, from substituting and just keep giving Skinner the ball, you know.
And that momentum, too. You know, they're playing pretty well. They kind of want to keep that forward momentum going. And now they look like they were going to go to the line of scrimmage, and now the quarterback will come over and talk with Coach Haas to see what they want to do here. They still have plenty of time. It took a little time for the ball to get set. So second and about 7, ball at the 8-yard line. Overton needs to make a defensive play here. They'll hand it off to Skinner. Skinner trying to get the edge. He's got a lead blocker out there, and he's going to be short of the first down marker, but it's going to set it up 3rd and about 1.5 here. Extending that play and finally knocking him out of bounds is Joel Schaefer.
Yeah, great play there by Schaefer. It looked like Skinner, he had got that corner, and he gets so much momentum, it's almost hard to stop him. But a great open field tackle by Schaefer, saving probably 6 points there and a first down.
And the ball is on the 3-yard line. They have it marked where the conversions would come from. So it's right at the 3-yard line. So they got about 1.5 yards to go here. And under center is going to be Wood. Wood, long count. Going to hand it off right up the middle. Not much gain there, but moving it forward is Skinner. Skinner didn't need a whole lot, and that's going to be awfully, awfully close. Looking at the side official there where he's set up, he is right on the first down marker, and the officials agree they're going to bring the chains out here for a measurement. It's either going to be first and goal from the 1 or 4th and inches. It is going to be awfully close, and I hate to speculate because the way they got it lined up, it looks like it's right on that first down marker. And they got it, first and goal.
Well, and that's big for Hemingford, Randy, because right there, if you don't get it, it's 4th and inches. And
you got a decision to make.
Yeah, and now you've got a full fresh set of downs. You got 4 cracks at the end zone instead of basically 1. You know, you might have picked up a conversion there too, but now you can open up your playbook. You got a couple. You can maybe go into the air a couple times here.
Yeah, and they did last week. They don't throw it a lot, but they threw some touchdown passes last week on very similar situations here. 2 tight ends. They're going to pitch it out. Skinner's going to try to get the corner, and he does. 1 yard run there for Ethan Skinner, and marching it right down the field, 68 yards, are the Bobcats, and they're on the board for the first 6 points of the ball game. And again, in a great contest between a couple of pretty good football teams, it can come down to the conversion. So we'll see what the Bobcats are able to do here as Matthew Wood gets his marching orders from the sideline. They'll spot it at the 3-yard line. They'll go for 2. And he's going to have a running back off of either shoulder. So he's in that pistol. High snap goes through his fingers. It's bouncing around. He's scrambling. He's looking to throw it on that backside, and it is dropped. With all that mess, that could have worked. Had Skinner been able to catch the football, there was 1 blue jersey over there, and there was a lead blocker. In any event, the try for 2 is no good. Score remains Hemingford 6 and over to nothing with 5:33 to go here in the first quarter. We're back after this.
The three L's of PlatteRiverPreps.com. Log on for info on all your favorite teams with links to articles organized by school and sport. Listen to any of the radio broadcasts on our five Platte River radio stations and download podcasts to past events. And like us on Facebook to get select pictures and breaking news of high school sports going on. Platte River Preps, your one-stop source for high school sporting news, covering over 100 teams across the state of Nebraska. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Matthew Wood with the kickoff. It is a high kick picked up at about the one-yard line here. And on the run here is going to be Joel Schaefer, and Schaefer's going to bring it across the 15-yard line, and that's going to be about it. Check it wasn't Schaefer, rather, but Logan Kaiser, who will set up shop here for the Eagles, and the Eagles have not looked very good offensively so far in this game.
Yeah, and going back to the last series, Hemingford just gave the ball to Skinner every single time they ran the ball. So Overton, down for the first time for quite some time. We'll see the adversity they hit. Didn't have anything going on that first series. They fumbled the ball away. Hanson coughed that one up. So you got to get a good possession here to get your momentum back.
And Overton's played a tougher schedule than what Hemingford has. There's no question about that. So they're somewhat used to this situation. Schaefer will keeping himself to that outside, breaks one tackle, has it down for a first down on that outside, and he's going to be knocked down about the 40-yard line. Nice little 24-yard gain, just a quick little option on that left side, and he's able to tuck it up, get the edge, and, they're going to say he went out of bounds at the 35. His shoulder went out near the 40, so they're going to say he stepped out at the 35-yard line on that far sideline. In any event, it'll be a nice gain here for the Eagles. They'll have it first and 10 from the 35-yard line. Now the shotgun formation is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer calls it out. He's in the pistol, actually, and now he's just going to follow his lead blocker. Gets to the outside, has across midfield to about the 37-yard line as he just kind of kept riding and slipping to the outside, and Brady Turk is the one who made the tackle there, but a nice lead block in front of him by Logan Kaiser.
Yeah, just had the nice read option there. The read was there, and he made it a quarterback keeper. Kept it for about 7 yards there, Randy, so they finally get over into Hemingford territory for the first time today.
Well, after he took the ball out of Kaiser's belly, he was able to kind of ride Kaiser through the hole there, and he'll be in the pistol again as Schaefer will call it out, and he'll hand it off right up the middle, and busting through there is going to be Brad Davey, and Davey close to the first down marker. Number 68 gets about half of what they needed on third and three, so it's about a yard and a half. Maybe still 2 yards to go here near midfield. They've got it at about the 36-yard line, and they've got to get it on the other side of the 35. And
movement.
I think the center forgot the count because he had about four guys on the offensive line that moved, and the one that didn't is the one that snaps the football.
Yeah, and Overton breaks the huddle, Randy, and they just sprint up there. And Hemingford, they read that. They had probably seen that in film.
They were
ready for it, and right so. So you kind of knew the play was going to come. Hard count there. The center, of all people, forgot to do it.
And instead of it being a yard and a half, you got to get here on third down. Now you got 6.5. You got to go, and it's an entirely different side of the playbook here. Because now instead of being under center, out of the shotgun formation here is going to be Schaefer. He does not have a back in the backfield. Now a man coming in motion through, that's Cahoy. They're going to pitch it out to him. Cahoy cuts back to the inside. He's wrapped up at the 40-yard line. He gained maybe about 1 yard on the play. And again, Hemingford was able to use their team speed and string that play out. And there wasn't a cutback lane there for Cahoy to come through, so the ball will be at the 40-yard line in a punting situation here for the Eagles.
And Hanson, from his linebacker position, was going to blitz in that A-gap. When they ran that jet sweep, he came with them on the left side and just blitzed. So we've seen that first blitz of the game, and Overton wasn't able to corral it on that cutback, so they're going to punt it away here.
So Brady Turek will be back deep for the Bobcats to receive the punt coming up here from Joel Schaefer. And Schaefer will kick it into that wind, nice and low, but gets a great bounce as it'll go down to about the 11-yard line and no return. So that's very effective with the kicking unit here for Overton, but they still trail it 6-0 with 3:46 to go here in quarter number one. And again, they got the one first down, but that's really about all they've gotten done offensively so far. Real early, still plenty of time. But so far, Hemingford has moved the ball better.
It didn't seem like, you know, that five-yard penalty would be much, but it was huge right there. Kind of maybe took them out of four-down territory. Oh, yeah. Had to punt the ball away. So now they've got them pinned back within the 20. We'll see how they counter.
And they're going to give it to Skinner. Skinner, a little room to run right through the middle, and he's going to gain right at 5 yards. Again, a little bit of line surge, moving the Eagles back a little bit. You don't see that very often. And then there was a little bit of a cutback lane, and actually it got a little bit over 5 yards. So it's about 4.5 to go here for the first down at the 18-yard line.
And if you're Overton, you want to force a three and out here, at least, you know, give them at least one first down if you're going to give them one, because the field position battle with that great punt is in your favor with that wind.
So Skinner will be the only back in the backfield, and they're going to hand the ball off to him. Pretty good line surge, and he'll be stopped short of the 20-yard line. He'll gain maybe about a yard and a half, and I'll tell you what, pretty good work there defensively by Logan Kaiser. Kaiser was able to fight off one blocker. So was Taylor Dedrick on that right side, and again, kind of blew that play up, but you saw a little bit of an ad-lib possibilities there for Ethan Skinner as he made a nice little read there to prevent that from being a two-yard loss and a gain of a yard and a half.
Hemingford faked the H-back, fouled Skinner, but a nice job by the Overton defense. Hard count there.
Yeah, hard count. Got a little bit of movement, but not across the line of scrimmage. Skinner coming off tackle, and he's got enough. He breaks a tackle. He's got it at the 30, breaks another, and is going to surge all the way out to the near the 40-yard line. He broke three tackles, one right at the point of attack, another one about 5 yards downfield, and nearly slipped through the tackle at the 39-yard line. It'll be first and 10 here for the Bobcats. And that's some good hard running by number 45, Ethan Skinner.
Randy, they've ran the ball 14 times, all 14 to Skinner for 65 yards.
And he's got a lead blocker as he goes off on that right side out of the I formation, and he's going to gain another 4 yards or so. And again, if you're Hemingford, why would you do anything different? You did. It's working. There's no sense of outthinking yourself, because right now they're kind of physically winning this football game.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a surprise. Overton had a couple big linemen. You know, they were going to lean on them this year. But Hemingford, you know, they're a confident bunch. You know, they've heard that all year. They're from out west. They ain't worth anything. They're showing today that they are.
So out of the pistol is Matthew Wood. High snap. Hands it off to, you guessed it, Skinner. Skinner cuts back to the inside, and there's the waiting arms of Brad Davey. Davey came through there, got across the line of scrimmage, was able to wrap him up. It'll be a short gain on the play. Nice open field tackle, but if he doesn't make it, there were a couple other Eagles there in pretty good position, as the Eagles that time looked very, very good defensively. It'll be third and a little bit over five here for the Bobcats from the 35-yard line. They're at the 35.5, and they need to get to the 31. Under center is going to be Wood. Wood pitches it to Skinner. Skinner trying to get the corner, does, has enough for the first down. Just kind of outran everybody that time and ran behind those shoulder pads. And there was one guy on that far side. That was Cahoy, who made the hit right at the first down sticks and was able to drive it forward with Skinner. So more than enough for the first down here for the Bobcats.
And they've ran that pitch play a couple times. And when you see it stretch out like that, Randy, sometimes you'll see some of those young linemen get a holding penalty. So far, Hemingford doing a good job of sustaining their blocks until Skinner gets by him. And then Skinner just keeps running for the sticks.
Well, they had a 68 drive their last time. And they're moving the ball here as off a quick little pitch to Skinner. And he'll downs through a small little hole on the right side. Keeps those legs moving. And he's going to gain right at 4 yards. So it'll be second and six here for the Bobcats, as again, there wasn't much of a hole there, and all the way down to the ground, you can see those legs still a-churning.
Yeah, he's a powerful guy, Randy, and they're just fitting the ball. They haven't given the ball to anybody else, and like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And again, out of the eye will be Skinner. He'll be dotting the eye. They'll hand it off to that fullback right up the middle, and a short little gain here for Trevor Benge, as he'll gain a couple of yards. Well, check, it wasn't Benge, it was Turek. So Turek actually gained about 3 yards. It'll be third and three and just outside the 21-yard line. Leading it 6-0 is Hemingford, but I don't think they're going to snap it as we're in the final throws of the first quarter here. And they're going to go over to the sideline, let the clock expire. So one quarter is in the books. And so far, Hemingford Bit of a surprise. They're leading in Overton 6-0. We'll have it 3rd and 3 from the 21-yard line when we come back right after this.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
There's just one place where students are students first, and athletics are played with purpose and perspective. That place is your local high school. High school sports offer more than the joy of competition. Studies show that student athletes in Nebraska are also likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in other areas of their lives, including academics. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Nebraska School Activities Association and the Nebraska State Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Start of the second quarter, 6-0 Hemingford. They have it 3rd and 3 from the 21-yard line. Under center here is going to be Wood. Skinner in the eye, gets hand of the football, goes off on that left side, and there's a pretty good collision on that far back end there. Justin Hodson trying to keep him from moving forward, rolling over the top of the pile that was originally created by Joel Schaefer, and it's going to be 4th and about 1 here. And other action from around the state?
Yeah, let's go into D2. Randy, over on Classic, it's 98-9. Stewart right now on top of Amherst, 8-0. That's early in the first quarter. The other semifinal there, well, that'll kick off here in about 25 minutes. Fall City Sacred Heart will be at Why Not. That will be a 3 o'clock kickoff.
So under center is Wood on 4th and 1 from about the 20-yard line. A little bit of movement up front. They throw a flag. I saw the Overton player move, but we'll see whether or not he was drawn off. And we'll see what the indication here is by the guy wearing the white hat. They're marching 5 yards forward. And so that hard count got the Eagles to move. They didn't even have to go for it on 4th down. So it'll be 1st and 10 from the 14-yard line. They're now in the Case IH red zone. 1st and 10 here for the Hemingford Bobcats. Under center is Wood. Wood to Skinner. Skinner has to cut back to the inside, and he's going to be tackled there. Tripping him up is going to be Cahoy, as Cahoy was able to kind of extend things out. And again, if they don't do that, if Overton doesn't force that cutback, that speed of Skinner, they've had a lot of success with that sweep, outrunning it and getting the edge.
And let's go back to the scores, Randy. Right now, 6-0 here. Like we said, the other semifinal, that'll be at Exeter-Millian at Creighton Egg Baby, will kick off at 5 o'clock.
So this game probably over by the time that one begins. Wood hands off to Skinner. Skinner is wrapped up at the 10-yard line. There was nowhere to go that time as the Eagle defense was able to kind of seal things up in there. And let's give credit to Brad Davey for making the hit and sealing the hole all in one move there. So it'll be 3rd and about 7 from the 10-yard line. But we'll call it 6. And again, probably 4-down territory, so we'll see if they run it here out of the pistol. No, Wood's going to drop back the throw. He's got time to throw. He's rolling out to his right, and he's going to tuck and run, and it's going to be out of bounds, short of the first down marker, but it's going to be 4th and about 2.5 here. We'll see exactly where they mark it. But it is going to be 4th down. He got about half of it there, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the same kind of setup on this play. They've got to get it just inside the 5-yard line, and we're about to 7.5. Clock stops with 9:59 to go. Second quarter, 6-0 Hemingford, but they're threatening to add more. 4th down in the Case IH red zone. And they're going to give it to Skinner. Skinner cuts back. No, they ball fake. And the tackle's made on the far side by Davey. Fooled me, but it did not fool Brad Davey. That was a great ball fake as he bootlegged out of there, had the ball on his hip, or at least he had to. I didn't see it, obviously. But Davey certainly did as he made the tackle on the backside. That's a big defensive play there by the Eagles.
Yeah, just ran that naked bootleg to the left, and it looked like he had been there. But great contain by the Overton defense, forcing the turnover. Shoestring tackle. If he shakes off that shoestring, Randy, he walks in for 6.
And again, that's a senior football player that knows what his job is and not trying to do someone else's. So staying at home and making the play is Brad Davey, and it'll be a turnover on downs here. So we'll see whether or not the Eagles can get something going here. Schaefer in the shotgun. He's going to keep it himself. Cuts back to the inside, and he has it across the 15-yard line as he'll gain about 3.5 on first down. And we'll see whether or not they can get moving here a little bit. They've gotten one first down is all I have him for so far here in the ball game.
Yeah, that's all I have too. But Schaefer, nice job. 3 carries, already 31 yards. So Overton, you're just going to try and get out of the corner of your end zone, then trying to get a nice exchange drive and get on the board.
Well, we talked a lot about Cahoy running the football, running for 1,600 yards on the year, and they have him split out wide to the left. They're not even putting him in the backfield at the moment. In that shotgun is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer's going to keep it himself on a quarterback keeper and a great open field tackle there by Colt Foster. If Foster doesn't make that tackle at the 15-yard line, that's more than enough for the first down. But as it is, no gain on the play, and it'll be 3rd and 7.
Yeah, great open field tackle. You textbook tackle. Put your head on inside the shoulder pads. Just let your basically take him down to the ground. Just run through him. Great open field tackle for Hemingford. So third down. And
good solid hit on that upper thigh, you know, and just taking the legs out from the quarterback. So it'll be 3rd and 7. And now that pistol formation here is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer has a man in motion. That's Cahoy. He pump fakes, throws, and it is incomplete, trying to connect with Cahoy at about the 22-yard line. If Cahoy makes the catch there, that's a first down, but his arms weren't long enough to come up with a football. Defending on the play was Matthew Wood for the Bobcats, and so another 3 and out here for the Eagles.
Man, they ran a pick route, basically, and it looked like he was going to be able to work, but just hit him in the hands, incomplete. They had about 2 guys open downfield here as well, so plenty of options, just incomplete.
So now, out of that punting formation will be Schaefer. Schaefer gets it, no pressure. Kick into the wind, and making the catch is going to be Turek. Turek right up the middle, trying to get to the outside now, and a nice block on that far side, and he's going to pick up some extra yards and get it right at the 38, 39-yard line. That was a devastating block on that right side, and I think it was Skinner that made the block. It was either Skinner or Blake Hansen. Somebody with a number 4 in their jersey went through there, and actually I think it was Hansen who made the block that allowed Turek to get out to the 39-yard line. 8:13 to go here, second quarter, and the defense here for the Eagles needs to find some way to stop them here, get the ball back in a little bit better field position.
Exactly. Hemingford, they're starting near midfield almost every time, while Overton starting inside about their 15-yard line every time.
So Wood will be pitching the ball out to Skinner, and it's on the ground, and I think the Eagles may have come up with it. There's one Eagle in there flying in. They're trying to come up with a football, and I think Skinner came back to it. Cahoy dove in there trying to come up with a football, and he got there just a fraction too late as Ethan Skinner dropped the football. That's going to be a loss of just a little bit less than 5 yards on the play. But the Bobcats maintain possession, and that is a big, even though they lost yards on the play, it's still a big play for the Bobcats.
And it looked like Hemingford, Skinner just kind of like stuck his foot in the ground. He couldn't get back to the ball. Luckily, got one big paw on it and retained possession.
Turek will be the fullback. Skinner, and they'll hand it off here to Turek. He gets about 3 of those 4 yards they lost back. Just a quick little hitter to the fullback. And again, Nebraska did that for years and years and years with that power game that they had back in the 80s where and the early 90s, where they just pop that fullback to you about 4 or 5 times a game. That was about it, but a lot of times you break a big run there. It's going to be 3rd and 11 here for the Bobcats as they are short of midfield at about the 37-yard line. No back in the backfield here for Wood, who's in the shotgun formation. Skinner's out to the right. They're looking to throw to him. Now they throw it in the middle to Turek. Turek makes the catch, and he's going to be brought down at the 25-yard line, but that's more than enough for the first down. Gain of 16 on the play as they hit Turek in stride, and it'll be 1st and 10 here for the Bobcats.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Turek, you know, he's not your traditional fullback, 5'9", 165 pounds. Last week we saw him come out in the flats a couple times and really beat Elm Creek right there. A great job rolling to the right, throwing back across his body, hitting Turek right across the middle, Big first down for the Bobcats.
6:45 to go here before halftime. 6-0 Hemmingford, and they've got it first and 10 from the 25. Pitch it to Skinner, and Skinner gets on that right side. He's going to gain 2.5, 3 yards. They'll stay on schedule here because, again, you're looking at four down territory once you cross about the 35, 40-yard line or so, and they have it now at the 22. So it'll be 2nd and 7 at the 22. And again, the Eagles, who made a nice defensive, I can't say goal line stand, they weren't quite there yet, but they made a nice stand the last time that Hemmingford came down here. They need to find some way to make that happen again. From the 22-yard line, it's Wood under center. He'll hand it off to Skinner, and Skinner's hit in the backfield, and again, it's going to be Brad Davey making the play. He came off of that tackle right up the middle, and again, a nice form tackle there by Brad Davey. He was having a pretty solid game here.
Yeah, and that, Rainey, that was just a not a very good handoff between Wood and Skinner. Skinner kind of just was juggling it down his knees, finally got a hold of it, and then Cahoy just come up and laid the Wood, bring up third down in quite a bit.
So a loss on the play will make it now 3rd and 9 from about the 24. And again, only back in the backfield is going to be Wood. He gets the snap. He'll roll to his right. Pressure coming in underneath. It's caught and then knocked out of his hands. Originally, it was caught by Brady Turek, but Hayden Cahoy was able to come through and punch the ball out. It goes out of bounds, and they're going to rule that that's an incomplete pass as he did not make a football move with it. But I'll tell you what, Hayden Cahoy made a football move. That was a pretty good play by number 2.
Yeah, and great job. They did another roll to the right, Randy, and wide open on that far sideline was Kamen, but it looked like the design, that would have been the third route. He goes here on the nice sideline, incomplete pass, fourth down territory.
And now that shotgun is going to be Wood here on 4th and about 9. Snap, rolling to his right. We'll throw it to the right side. It's caught, and immediately there is Cahoy. They're going to lose about 5 yards on the screen. They were trying to set up Colt Foster for the tight end screen. And I'll tell you what, Hayden Cahoy saw that on game film because he was there. And really, had he broke just a scant second earlier, might have been in a position where he could have made the interception. In any event, he made the safe defensive play, and that was to let him catch it and then make the tackle. Loss of 5 on the play, and it'll be 1st and 10 from the 29 here for Overton, and maybe they can build off of that defensive momentum and get something going offensively.
Overton so far, bending and not breaking. They did break one time, but their defense is keeping them in this ballgame, Randy. Now their offense needs to do something.
So 5:21 to go here in the second quarter. It is 6-0 Hemmingford, and we've got a flag as there'll be a legal procedure against the Eagles. And again, they've shot themselves in the foot. They had it near midfield, 3rd and 1. They had a 5-yard penalty that made it 3rd and 6, and it was just an entirely different setup at that point. Here, a 5-yard penalty, they make it 1st and 15. And to a great extent, you know, Overton has made the mountain a little bit steeper here by some of the mistakes that they've made.
They've only had 3 5-yard penalties, but they've come at the worst time. And granted, there's never a good time for a penalty, but just inopportune times right now, Overton just continually shooting themselves in the foot.
So 1st and 15, and again, a big play will make us forget about that. Cahoy is going to move on that right side, and they'll throw it. They're looking for receiver right in the middle and just a little bit too far ahead of Logan Kaiser. And Kaiser pretty well covered there, but that was a ball that only Kaiser was going to be able to come up with. So not a bad throw there by Schaefer. At least it was a nice, safe throw. It falls incomplete, and it'll be 2nd and 15.
Yeah, just about a foot short or foot too long. Nice job stepping up in the pocket. Lifted plenty of air on the ball for only or where Kaiser could get it, but a little too much air, just about a yard too long, so it's going to be incomplete, 2nd down.
So now out of the pistol formation here is going to be Schaefer, and Schaefer will put a man in motion. That is Cahoy, and he'll run the option to the right side. He's going to keep it, tucks it, has a gain of 5, and breaks it to the outside, has enough for the first down, brings it across the 35 to the 33-yard line. Nice little option play there by the quarterback. He was able to keep it and rumble out to about the 32-yard line. 1st and 10 here for the Eagles. One of their best offensive plays, their 2nd first down of the game, erases that 5-yard penalty, and now you forget all about that. You got some positive momentum and over 5 minutes here to try to get the 2nd touchdown. So a nice little run there by Schaefer as he kept it on that quarterback keeper. It'll be 1st and 10 from about the 32-yard line. This time Schaefer will be in under center as they'll run out of the I formation, and they're going to hand it off to the fullback on that right side, and not much room to run at all.
Wow, Schaefer's made a couple big plays, Randy. This is his 2nd run of over 20 yards. He had that one big run that was actually called back a little bit due to the penalty. But Schaefer so far, Nakahoy being the one that's leading this Overton offense.
And Davey on that quarterback, that fullback dive there gains about a yard and a half. And now the pistol here is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer, a little zone read, keeps it himself, trying to get the outside, gets a little lead block, trying to get to the edge, and there's a good open field tackle there by Turek, and he's going to be knocked down at about the 28-yard line. So they'll gain about two, maybe three on the play, stop the clock before 15 to go here, and it's going to set up third and about six.
Great closing speed there by Turek, because it looked like Schaefer was going to have another nice run on the sideline.
Or at least enough for the first down.
Yeah, and Turek. Just basically straight V line, great open angle tackling. Sometimes that's where you mess up, you take a bad angle. Good angle there, forces him out. Instead of the first down, it'll be third and six.
Cahoy will be split out wide to the right. Schaefer in that pistol formation. Cahoy will come across the formation, and pressure coming up the middle on the blitz, and they're going to get him at the 30-yard line. As Schaefer actually is... going to lose about 1 yard on the sack, and it's going to be fourth and about seven here. The blitz got him, and he did not have much time at all to throw the football because it came on the right side.
Yeah.
That's where they kind of cleared out the tight end. There was no block, and so coming free is a pretty quick Ethan Skinner, and you better have about a three-step drop. That's all the time you got for on that play.
Well, it's only the second blitz that I can remember, Randy, and so far both of them have worked good. We thought maybe they're going to be a little bit more aggressive than this, but they're now timing their blitzes, and they're doing it at good times.
So fourth and seven here. Pistol formation for Schaefer. And he'll roll to his right. Low pressure coming. Throws it in underneath. It's going to be caught. With it is Creighton Ryan. Ryan gets it down the sideline. Coming knocked out of bounds at about the 10-yard line. Gain the 20. Moving the sticks. And it'll be first and we'll see exactly where they spot. It's going to be awfully close to first and goal here inside the Case IH red zone. When you need parts, service, or just some friendly advice, contact Fairbanks International and Hastings and Kearney, your Case IH dealer. Fairbanks International is part of the Titan Dealer Group, giving you access to one of the largest parts and wholesale good inventories in the world, providing you with better solutions with locally owned service and dedication that you expect. See Fairbanks International in Hastings or Kearney today, a proud supporter of high school athletes. Just outside the 10-yard line, and they're going to roll it out here to Cahoy. Cahoy is going to lose a couple of yards as he's going to be pulled down at about the 17, actually a loss of about five, and reading that little dump off screen over there was Blake Hansen, and Hansen's going to knock him back for a loss of five on the play for Cahoy, and we have not called his name a whole lot today offensively.
No, and going back to that previous play, Foster came on that blitz on that right side, and that time it burned Hemingford, got all the way down into the red zone, and this time they had a screen set up for Cahoy there, and like you said, I haven't called his name often because so far he hasn't been producing that well.
Kaiser split out wide to the right. Cahoy a little bit narrower, and they're going to run the zone option. Going to hand it off to, I believe that's Davey, right up the middle. And he's going to be pulled down at about the 14-yard line. So they're going to get a couple of those yards back. As the gain may be about four on the play, but it's going to be third and about a dozen here. So third and 12. And again, they can kick. But in any event, you want to get a few more yards here, and then maybe then have to make a decision.
And at that point, you might want to just, if you're going to kick it at this point, you would just be lining up. Is he better on this hash, or is he right down the middle?
Yeah, with this win, though, that might come into your decision whether or not you want to do that. Dropping back the throw here is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer steps up, throws it in underneath. It's going to be caught and inside the 3-yard line. Boy, that's going to be close to a first down. Cahoy making the catch off the fingertips. Going to be rode down by Brady Turek, and they're looking at it. I think they're going to have to bring the chains in. This is going to be close enough, and they're going to bring the white hat in there to have a discussion. And, yeah, they're going to stop the clock, and they're going to move the chains over to see whether or not it is going to be first and goal or fourth and inches. What a great catch there. That was right off the fingertips as Cahoy was able to reel that one in. And so they'll stretch out the chain. And they'll pull it tight, and I think they're just going to be just a little bit short. Yeah, they are. They're going to be maybe 4 inches short of a first down here.
Another Hemingford blitz, and this time Overton took advantage of it. Schaefer doing what Elm Creek couldn't last year. They found Cahoy. Cahoy with a great catch, too. Reached for it. Was about four or five chain links short, Randy. So fourth down and one. You're probably going to just run the ball, maybe do a quarterback sneak here.
I wouldn't be, you know, quarterback sneak's the play I got in my playbook for this. You come up there and quick count. In any event, they are going to have the quarterback come in right under center here. Schaefer under center out of the I formation, and he's going to keep it. He is hit in the backfield, lunges, and I don't know if he lunged forward enough. It is going to depend on the spot.
Hemingford celebrating like they got it, Randy, and it looked like that he had no surge. Unless he reached the ball, I don't think he got it.
We do not have a real great angle at it, and I think either way they look at it, the chain gang is moving like they did not get it. I think they're going to bring the chains out to verify it, but the hometown chain gang says they didn't get it, and the officials concur. They're not even going to bring the chains out. The chain gang usually knows.
Yeah.
And we know what they're rooting for.
Well, there was just absolutely no surge there, Randy.
There was not.
And Overton, you know, their line, that was one of their strengths coming in this year. Hemingford just got lower, got their pad level lower, and didn't let the sneak go by. So Schaefer gets hit right at the line, loses maybe a half yard, and turns the ball over.
So both teams with essentially a goal line stand so far here in the ball game, and the handoff to, you guessed it, Skinner right up the middle, and Skinner about the 5 yard line there. They get a little extra help and a little extra push, and they'll get it all the way out to about the 8 yard line. So they'll gain about 5 on the play, and it'll set up now 2nd and 5. Overton still has 3 timeouts left, but first things first, you got to hold them here on 2nd and about 5.5.
Yeah, if you get maybe a nice loss here, you probably use it. Yeah. If not, I think if Hemingford picks up the first down, you'll probably see this be a 6-0 halftime score.
And they're going to milk the clock. Hemingford taking their time, looking at the official, waiting for that countdown. Is going to be Matthew Wood, and Wood's going to hand off to his fullback coming right up the middle. That's Brady Turek, and Turek is going to be short of the 10-yard line, so it's going to be 3rd and about 3 here. They gain about 1.5 yards, and as predicted, here's a timeout here for the Overton Eagles. So they stop the clock here, down 6-0 with 1:01 to go in the second quarter. This timeout brought to you by Joe Matthew Shelter Insurance. We'll take a timeout with him as well. 6-0 Bobcats. We're back after this.
Hit the road with a four-door sedan loaded with luxury. Tom Dinsdale offers this 2013 Cadillac XTS, stock number 98950, with a V6, six-speed automatic, and white diamond tri-coat finish. Sale priced for under $50,000. Qualified buyers can take advantage of an available $5,000 rebate. Take a test drive today in this great example of personal luxury at Tom Dinsdale Automotive, Stolly Park Road at Webb Road in Grand Island. Check out the entire inventory at DinsdaleAuto.com.
At Shelter Insurance, we could tell you that we insure thousands of homeowners, but what we couldn't tell you was their favorite room in the house. So we asked, is it your TV room with the 50-inch screen and the 50-yard line seats? Or is it the kitchen where all those terrific meals and conversations heat up? Or is it the deck where all those spectacular sunsets show up every night just like clockwork? The answer is all of the above.
Whether you're insuring your first home or your dream retirement home,
Matthew Wood going to hand it off to Ethan Skinner. Skinner on that left side, no surge whatsoever. I think maybe he might have lost about a half yard, and it's going to be 4th down and another timeout here for the Overton Eagles. Eagles call timeout brought to you by Joe Matthew Shelter Insurance. There's 57 seconds left to go in the second quarter, still 6-0, and we'll be back again in another 30 seconds.
Precision Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox dealer in Hastings. Whether it's the industry's most innovative heating and cooling systems, heat pumps, air quality systems, or other proven Lennox products, you and your family will enjoy the all-year-round quality comfort. Call Tom Wissing in Hastings, 402-463-6061 for more information on Lennox products, warranties, tax credits, rebates, and more. 463-6061. Lennox dealers are independently owned and operated businesses. Precision Heating and Air Conditioning in Hastings, Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Timeout brought to you by Joe Matthew Shelter Insurance. Now's the time to see Joe for a check of your auto, home, life, or business insurance. Joe Matthew Shelter Insurance in Kearney. And again, that's very conservative play calling here for the Hemingford Bobcats. Very conservative running within the tackles there. And again, everybody kind of knew what they were going to do. And good job there by Overton of stopping it.
It seemed like their bread and butter so far has been that pitch play to Skinner. They probably thought if they ran that, there was probably a good chance maybe he would have been ran out of bounds. Didn't want to have that happen.
Kaiser will stand at about the 35-yard line awaiting the punt here from Matthew Wood. And again, Overton's going to have some time.
See if they bring the heat.
They're taking their time in terms of snapping the ball here. And I think Hemingford's going to take another timeout. See if they could get. They tried a little hard count out of that punt formation. I just don't know if a hard count for the punt really does a whole lot. But timeout here for Hemingford. So let's give you a little bit of a game reset. This timeout brought to you by Joe Methy, Shelter Insurance. We have 57 seconds to go in the half. Fourth and four from your own 9-yard line. I don't think you're going to do anything crazy if you're Hemingford. And if you're for Overton, it looked to me like they were trying to set up the return. Because, again, you're going to get the ball at the 35-yard line unless they punt the ball over your head. And with a fairly good win in the face of Wood here, I don't think you're going to punt it over the head of Logan Kaiser. So you're probably going to get the ball 30, 25-yard line somewhere in that area and still plenty of time with one timeout left.
Yeah, and the return guy is still set up in Hemingford territory, so you're going to want to set up the return here.
And it is a high kick, and the wind is going to knock it down and hits the turf and is going to bounce to about the 31-yard line, and that is where it's going to be down there. And I'll tell you, that football just hit a wall. I mean, you just kind of see it up in that wind. It stopped rotating and just kind of froze in the air and started coming backward a little bit and just dropped with no roll whatsoever at about the 31-yard line. So that's where it'll be first and 10 here. They got one timeout, does Overton. So, again, they stopped the clock to move the chains. So 49 seconds to go here before halftime is still plenty of time. You can't do a lot of running. I mean, you're going to have to either get the edge and get the first down or throw the football. And now the shotgun, it appears, is going to be Schaefer, yeah? No backs in the backfield for Schaefer.
Splitting Kohoy out to the right. Watch that matchup out there.
And now they're going to bring him in motion to the left. And the throw in underneath. It's going to be caught. Another catch by Ryan. And Ryan's down to the 5-yard line. Very similar to the same play before. Coming out of there with the football is Matt Wood. But Wood says he got the football, but it appeared to me that Ryan took that one all the way down to the ground, and it was wrestled away after it was there. Clock stopped here with 42.1 to go. It'll be first and goal from the Case IH red zone as it'll be at the 5-yard line. They start the clock. Checking his wristband for the play here is Joel Schaefer. They got plenty of time here. Schaefer out of the pistol. He's going to roll out. Pressure coming. He eludes it. Now more pressure comes, and they get him. He's sacked at about the 12-yard line, and it's going to be timeout Overton. Overton with that blitz couldn't pick it up, and Schaefer could not get rid of the football to stop the clock, and so he'll lose some yards, about 10 of them, and with 23.3 to go, they have to use their final timeout, which means, again, another sack, and Overton would be very hard-pressed to get the play off. This timeout brought to you by Joe Methy Shelter Insurance. Now's the time to see Joe for a check of your auto, home, life, or business insurance. Joe Methy Shelter Insurance of Kearney. So, again, you're in this situation. You have to throw, but you probably need to have a hot read in there somewhere that blitz is coming. You can either complete the pass or you can get rid of the football.
Yeah, and that's the one thing on that previous play you didn't want to do. You couldn't take a sack, especially with only one timeout. You'd have to burn it there. Hemingford brought the pressure. You were kind of surprised, but you weren't surprised because Hemingford was going to do that. You just weren't expecting them to do it on that first and goal play. Nice job by Hemingford blitzing when you weren't expecting it. You took the sack, so now if you're Hemingford, you probably can't run the ball or Overton here. You got to probably go through the air to try and get this touchdown.
And they are going to be in the shotgun about 5 yards deep. Here's Schaefer. He throws it, pass to the goal line, incomplete. Kahoy had it on his hands for just an instant, and it falls incomplete right at the goal line. That had been a touchdown if he was able to hold on to it, but there is a flag on the play.
Looked like they had threw it right as the play was going, maybe an illegal formation.
Legal procedure, that'll be a 5-yard penalty on Overton, and there's not a reason in the world not to take the penalty because you're more worried about the yardage than you are about the downs. You could either have it be second and goal or third and goal, and they are going to take the 5-yard penalty, have it be second and goal.
Another
with 19.7 to go here, you're going to have time for two plays, and that's it anyway.
Yeah, and another untimely penalty there for Overton. You had a nice inside route there. Looked like you had a touchdown. So now you got to back him five more yards. You probably don't have a pass play that's going to be designed to get in the end zone on a quick pass play.
Well, I'd be looking for the guy split out wide to the right, and that's Aiden Kahoy. Schaefer is going to be in the shotgun. Low snap, pressure coming, dumps it in underneath. It's caught, juggled, and down to the 1-yard line. Making the catch is J.D. Callahan as number 72 makes the catch. 7 seconds left. They come up under center, and they clock it. Pass incomplete with 3.9 to go. They will clock it as it'll be, well, it says third down over there, but that's got to be a first down. They clock it. The down marker is third down. Yeah, so it should be the officials are going to get together.
Boy, Hemingford.
That was second down. The pass completion there. Now, if they didn't get a first down, which they had to have. Yeah. So it's got to be, it's first and goal. You got a first down at the 5 yard line, and it's inside of that. The officials are huddling up, but I know it isn't third down, and that's what the yard marker on the far side says. And they're going to call an illegal procedure penalty, and whether or not this will come with a runoff. Well, Overton's got to be ready because I think they can start the clock here.
Only 4 seconds left. The coaches are telling them to get to that line.
Illegal procedure. And so they are up there. Overton is ready. And they snap it ready for play. And there's a flag down.
Jump too early. The receiver tried to get a quick ground, quick movement on his route. Come back.
Actually, the movement came before they blew the whistle ready for play. They're going to call it delay a game. So that's going to cost them another 5 yards. Very bizarre. 2.7 to go here.
Boy, nice job by Callen, almost getting in the end zone there. And then a penalty brings him back on another one here. So one chance to get in the end zone now.
And they've got to make sure everybody's on the right page here because that has not been the case the last couple of plays.
No timeouts.
Yeah, they got no timeouts left here. Otherwise, they surely would have taken it. Cahoy will take the snap at about the 10-yard line. And he gets the snap, low snap, gets it off just in time, rolls out to his right, has to scramble, pressure coming, outruns it, trying to look to throw, breaks one tackle, looking to throw again, and he'll throw in the end zone where he's got a man, and it's incomplete on that far side. Just a little bit too high for Justin Hodson to come up with it. A great job of scrambling there by Joel Schaefer, but he didn't have enough time to set himself up and make the connection into the end zone. So, again, an opportunity for Overton falling just a little bit short. They have not played their best football, and they're only down six. They trail it 6-0 to Hemingford here in the first half as we'll head to locker rooms. Again, your score, it is Hemingford 6 and the Overton Eagles, nothing. And we'll continue with coverage of the state high school football playoffs from Oxford, from
Overton.
When we come back right after this.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Right now at Crossroads Ford in Kearney, all the new 2013 Ford F-150 Crew Cab four-wheel drives have got to go, and Crossroads Ford is dealing. Many specials marked right on the windshields. Ask about manufacturer rebates and factory bonus cash, or available special APR Ford credit financing with approved credit. They need trade-ins. Now's the best time to get a great deal. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
And welcome back here to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Don't let trash take up all your time. At Ravenna Sanitation, we take trash seriously. For your home, the farm, and your business, we remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County. The dance team from Overton out there entertaining the throngs of people here at the Class D1 state semifinals. And Hemingford hits the road. They have the win last week at Elm Creek, and they lead at halftime here in Overton by a score of 6-0. Bit of a surprise that they're the team with the lead. We kind of anticipated this one could be kind of a tight game, and Overton just really hasn't gotten things going offensively here so far in the first half. Their most promising drive was their last drive of the first half, really. They got it down to the 1 yard line, but then a couple of penalties pushed them back, and they essentially just ran out of time because they had to use those timeouts earlier to get that other opportunity. So the last two drives, they were kind of knocking on the door, and I think once they break through there, things might start to go a little bit better for them, but they're having trouble kind of priming the pump, getting that offense started.
Yeah, and I think they've had about two really good promising drives, Randy, and both times it seemed like they hurt themselves more than Hemingford had hurt them. They had a penalty, dropped them back into 3rd and 6 instead of 3rd and 1. They were in Hemingford territory. Then on that last drive, they were down there all the way to the 1 yard line, and a couple bad penalties back and back. The clock was running. There was just a lot of confusion going on everywhere and just ran out of time. So if you're Overton, I mean, you're down six, but you feel like it should be 6-6, maybe even in the lead as well. Your defense been playing exceptionally well. Skinner's been getting his yards, but other than that, you've been doing a good job of containing them. Outside of the yards, they've only got one touchdown.
Well, I think both teams can go in locker room and grow from this and gain some confidence from how they played in the first half, because from Overton's perspective, they're going to look at it and go, we're not playing very good right now. We're not playing very well at all right now. We're only down six. Whereas Hemingford is in their buses. They're in the locker room, so to speak, and they're saying, hey, told you we could play with these guys. Told you. You know, they're beginning to believe more and more and more. So I think both teams are going to come out with a lot of confidence in the second half, and really who comes out in the early stages of the third quarter and establishes something based on that, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, and we'll see what kind of adjustments can be made, because right now it seems like both teams kind of know what the other team is going to do, and so if a trick play might come in here, might be a different we'll see more passing, who knows. That could be the adjustment we see as well, because right now it seems like both teams just know what's coming, and it's seemingly who's made the least amount of mistakes so far is the difference in this ballgame.
I've been really surprised in the first half how little Cahoy has run the football.
Yeah. Hey,
Hayden Cahoy has got, what, two rushing attempts the entire game?
They've thrown his way
a few times, but five carries?
Five carries, 11 yards.
It doesn't even seem like that many. You know, it doesn't even seem like he had as many as five.
He had the first two of the game, and then ever since he had three. And so that's probably where you're thinking that, where it's like he's only had three since the first two of the game. And they've got to him two or three times through the air, and you've seen his playmaking ability when they get him the ball. I'm wondering if it's maybe a matchup concern. They want to keep who is that back there? Davey back there in the running game and get Cahoy out on the edges, because maybe they like the matchup against Turk or Skinner out there on the edge better.
Yeah. In any event, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because there's potential there. And I still have the feeling that Overton's going to come away and win this one, even though they're trailing here at halftime by a score of 6-0. Again, you're listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. We're going to take a quick break. We'll check some scores from around the state for you. Not a lot going on right now, but we'll check those scores for you, including Amherst, which is playing right now in our sister station Classic. It's 98.9. We'll check those scores and more when we continue from Overton. It is 6-0 Hemingford in the halftime when we come back right after this.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game, from swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back. See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Trash's turn. I had to take it out the last time.
Trash just isn't something people like to deal with. But at Ravenna Sanitation, we take trash seriously and are here to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is ready to meet your needs. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County, is the quality, dependable trash hauling service you've been looking for. Find Ravenna Sanitation in the Pleasanton or Ravenna phone book.
Welcome back here to Overton. There's only two games going on right now in the state of Nebraska, and both of those on your Platte River radio stations here on ESPN. It is 6-0 Hemingford at halftime, leading in Overton in Class D1. In Class D2, Amherst on the road at Stewart right now is trailing Stewart 16-0. That game, as we mentioned at halftime, on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Of course, the winner of this Overton-Hemingford game will take on the winner of Creighton and Exeter-Milligan, that game being played in Creighton at 5 o'clock. And then in Class D2, the other state semifinal has second-seeded Why Not playing host to top-seeded Fall City Sacred Heart. That game just kicking off in Why Not. So once again, it is 6-0 Hemingford at halftime over Overton, and Amherst right now trailing in Stewart 16-0. We deliver the scores. Valentino's of Kearney will deliver right to your door. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game or call for one of their great pizzas you can carry out, or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight. Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. The scoring summary in the football game won't take very long. Ethan Skinner, a one-yard run to cap off a 68-yard drive with 5:33 to go in the first quarter. It was 6-0 at that point. They also marched the ball down deep later on. Goal line stand. It wasn't goal line. It was a fourth down stop at about the 5-yard line for Overton. But Overton also drove a couple of times down inside the 10-yard line as well. We're also pushed away, kept out of the end zone late in the second quarter. So we are at halftime 6-0 with Hemmingford leading here in Overton. And with more of the numbers, here's Jeff Babel.
All right, let's start with the away team. The Hemmingford Bobcats, led obviously on the ground right now by Skinner. 26 carries already, Randy, 86 yards. Turek's got 3 carries, 7 yards. Woods kept the ball a couple times. No positive yards for him, so Hemmingford on the ground, 93 total rushing yards through the air. Wood started off 0-for-3, but after that, 3 of 7 for 33 yards. Connected out there to Foster a couple times. Foster, 2 catches for 17 yards. Turek's got one as well for 16. So 126 total rushing yards for Hemmingford. Well, let's go over to Overton, the Eagles. Overton rushing the ball, you would expect Cahoy to be leading them, but right now it's the quarterback, Schaefer. Schaefer, 8 carries for 49 yards. He was all the way up to 56 at one point before he took a late sack there. Cahoy, the guy you expected out of the ball, 5 carries, 11 yards. Hansen had 1 carry as well. And Davey, the fullback now, 3 carries for 7 yards. So add those all up. Overton, 98 rushing yards, so they're 5 better than Hemmingford there. Passing the ball, Schaefer, 6 of 11, 64 yards, including a couple of nice ones out there to Ryan. Ryan, 2 catches, 46 yards. Cahoy, 2 catches, 7 yards. And Callahan, we had that one run, or that one catch for 16, and then a couple of bizarre penalties backed him up. So 64 through the air for Overton, 162 total yards. So Overton, Randy, right now out rushing and out passing Hemmingford, out gaining them total yards, but not on the scoreboard.
And that all kind of started midway through the second quarter. For the first quarter and a half, really, Hemmingford probably, I don't want to say dominated, because it wasn't that lopsided, but they certainly had played better up to that point. But Overton has kind of started to find their stride a little bit, but obviously they need to get points as they trail here 6-0 at halftime. So, again, I don't think there's any radical changes that they need to do. They need to just not have some silly 5-yard penalties that have kind of hurt them. Both teams have had a couple of drops in the passing game that kind of hurt them a little bit as well. So I don't think either team really needs to make some radical changes. Just need to play better. And I think both teams are completely capable of doing that here in the second half.
Yeah, and they're both really good teams, Randy. They wouldn't be semifinalists if they weren't. And so the ball get the second half, that'll be Hemmingford. So Hemmingford will need to try and build on their momentum, go up 2 scores, because I feel like if Overton can get that score, Randy, and maybe convert that to a point conversion and take the lead, it might be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because, like you had said, you would think Overton would win this game, and if they get the confidence, they get that first lead of the game, they might not ever look back.
Yeah, and again, they get that kind of that I don't want to say the monkeys on their back, but once they just kind of feel like that little release, like, oh, now we're finally going, then that forward momentum will kind of keep pushing them through. Because, again, you're down 6-0, but a lot of things went wrong for you in that first half. Not a ton of turnovers, but just not being very fluid, not being very smooth, especially in the offensive side, and the defense has kept them in the game. And as long as the nasty turnover bug doesn't jump up and bite Overton,
right,
I think they're certainly in a position where they can establish themselves and still come away with a win here fairly comfortably.
Overton, yeah, you say if they can just find the end zone, maybe they can just excel and say, there's the points, there's what we've been working hard for, because they've put in the hard work. You can see it in the yardage. They just haven't been able to cash it in when it counted, and when they do get down there, they just seem to make a dumb penalty here, or take a bad sack there, and that seems to be the problem. So Overton, if you can just get that one good drive going, get that confidence up, then you'll see the ball start to roll, I believe, here in the second half.
I think one adjustment they're going to have is more of an understanding that they got to have a hot read on every pass, because the blitzes are going to come. And I think now that you're kind of used to it a little bit, you got a senior quarterback in Joel Schaefer, pretty headsy quarterback, that will be able to kind of make some adjustments to that. So I think now we'll be a little bit more comfortable with Schaefer. So I think we'll probably see some better action with those blitzes and a little bit better hot reads. But,
Overton's defense, they're going to have to answer the bell first because Hemingford will get the football to start the second half here. And if they can hold them to a three and out, then the momentum, the field position game would be won by Overton at that point. So that's a good opportunity for the Overton defense to kind of build some momentum for their offense.
And like you said, going back to that hot read, if you're Schaefer, don't even go back three, four, five steps. Just one step, find the open guy. If you see that blitz, make sure your receivers, and if you're a receiver, you got to be looking. You can't, because we've seen them hit the hands a couple times and drop it. So you got to be ready. If you see the blitz, turn around, catch that ball, get in space, turn the ball over, or, and continue to go. And like you said, you got to stop him here because Skinner right now, he's been getting about four, five, six, seven every time. He hasn't been able to break one yet. And so if you're Overton, don't fall asleep on Skinner. He could still break one deep and put you in a big hurt.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we're at halftime here, 6-0. Hemingford with a six-point lead, and they'll get the football back to start the second half. And we'll wrap up our Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
You need power, efficiency, and dependability from your tractor, and when it's time to trade, you want the best resale value. That's what you get with Case IH Magnum Tractors from Fairbanks International. With nine models, Case IH Magnums set productivity standards the competition just can't match. For a limited time, you can finance your new Magnum with an interest waiver for 12 months. For power, efficiency, ease of maintenance, comfort, and financing, see the Case IH Magnum from Fairbanks International. Better solutions.
You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Don't let trash take up all your time. At Ravenna Sanitation, we take trash seriously. From your home, the farm, and your business, we remove it. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County. As we're getting all set for the second half here with a beautiful day for football. And again, that Overton defense, they're going to be first up here. They get a three and out. If you can do that, then you can kind of build that momentum. And again, that first half, it was Hemingford that was able to kind of come up and build on that momentum. They got the good start, and now Overton kind of had to find their sea legs a little bit. Well, now an opportunity for Overton to turn the tables here in the second half.
Yeah, and I think you're getting the same sense I am right now, that Overton does have the momentum despite not being able to punch that last one in. So Hemingford, this opening drive, you want to go down. At least, if you can't score, at least just flip the field position right away. You know, we haven't seen the wind as much as a factor as maybe we had thought we would. You know, during the
preseason. It's impacted a few punts,
yeah.
But it hasn't turned into any penalty. It hasn't turned into any turnovers or anything like that.
No, and then the precision, heating and air time and temperature. You know, we had a 2 o'clock kickoff. The sun, maybe it would be a factor a little bit with those receivers looking back. But really, so far, it's just been a good game between two really good teams, two semifinal teams, Randy, and I think coming down in the second half, it might be a little bit of who makes the least amount of mistakes. But if Overton's going to win this game, they're going to go out and get this game.
Yeah, they're going to have to go and take it away from Hemingford, no doubt about it. They got to seize it and take it away from them. They were in the process, really, of kind of doing that when they kind of ran out of time in that second quarter. And we'll have the second half kickoff here from Overton when we come back right after this.
When knees hurt, when joints ache, when bones break, trust the experienced team at Hastings Orthopedics. Our talented therapists, nurses, imaging staff, and skilled surgeons are trained experts on muscle, bone, and joint care. Don't let aches and pains slow you down. Reach your full potential with the caring, skilled team at Hastings Orthopedics. Feel like yourself again. Hastings Orthopedics and Sports Medicine.
Seth Johnson is your Channel Seed dealer located at the end of Main Street in Hildreth. The only seed company that employs a bear. Don't believe us? Stop into the shop in Hildreth and see how Zeke and Bear can help you grow. Channel Seed is a very proud supporter of all of our area athletes and coaches. With great determination and teamwork, our high school athletes have made it this far, which is how Channel Seed does business in your fields. See the difference with Zeke and Bear at Channel Seed, located at the end of Main Street in Hildreth.
And welcome back here to Overton as we're just getting set here for the second half. As, again, Overton, just trying to get things going, and you just kind of see it. I think it's just a little bit of an edge to Joel Schaefer. He's out there playing catch with Kahoy, and he's really putting some snap on it. He's kind of pumping the chest and pumping his fist. I think there's a focus that maybe, for whatever reason, wasn't there to start the game. That focus, I really get that sense that focus is here for Overton now.
You'd like to see if you're Overton. You know, you seem to have got the momentum. You're playing with an edge right now. You can see it out in their play as they're jumping around right now. Maybe in this first series, if not the first series, pretty early, you know, punch that ball. Try and get a turnover. Get the momentum. Get the crowd into it. Because right now it's a good crowd, Randy, but they've been down the whole game. They haven't really done anything. Maybe the crowd can get into it. Hemingford on the other side, they've been pretty loud for being the away team. They traveled here in bunches.
Oh, good crowd.
So if Overton can maybe turn the ball over here, get a fumble recovery and maybe a pick, you could really see this game turn around pretty quickly.
And teeing it up here is going to be Chris Seeberger, I believe. Yep, Seeberger is teeing it up. And back deep is going to be Matthew Wood and Brady Turek for the Bobcats of Hemingford. You erded a couple times there, and we need to ord it.
I've erded more than I've ordered.
And we'll see what Seeberger can do here. What wind there is really kind of coming across the field, but a little bit at the right shoulder and a high kick, and there's no chance of return on that one. That one bounces through, and somebody walking to their side of the sideline just got hit in the face with a bouncing football about 15 yards past the end of the goal line. Does that give you an idea of how Seeberger was able to pound that one through? So they'll spot it at the 15-yard line, and we'll see what the Overton defense can get started here. Surprising that you're not seeing Skinner in the I formation here, as Wood is in the shotgun with no backs in the backfield. He's got a couple of tight ends. He's looking, and now he throws it back to this left side. It's going to be caught by Foster, and Foster will gain about 5.5 on the play. Just kind of a little sit-down route there for the tight end. They were really looking to the other side, and then when there wasn't anything there, he just kind of dumped it off to his tight end and ends up being a nice little gain of 5 here for the Bobcats.
Yeah, and it looked like Skinner might have been his first read there, and it looked like Skinner was open, but checked him off, went to the second route, and then finally Foster was there on the third route, and a nice play by Foster, getting about 3 or 4 more than what you expected him on that play.
They are going to split out Skinner wide to the right. Again, no backs in the backfield here for Matthew Wood. Out of that shotgun, he's going to just run right up the middle, and there's no room to run whatsoever. He's probably lost about 1 yard on the play. As coming up on the bottom of the pile here is going to be Brad Davey. Davey was there, and J.D. Callahan was right there on it as well. And again, that defensive line for Overton, they stayed at home, and there wasn't anywhere to go for Wood.
Big third down here. If you're Overton, if you can force a 3-and-out on Hemingford's opening drive, that's got to feel real good for your momentum.
And in that shotgun is going to be Wood. And the man coming across the formation is going to be Turek, and they're going to hand it off to Turek on the jet sweep, and they're going to lose yards. Fighting out the block and then making the tackle is J.D. Callahan. Callahan on that defensive end turned the play to the inside, still fought off the block and was able to make the tackle. And that's going to be a short loss. Well, maybe just a minute gain on the play. It's going to be 4th and about 2 here from about the 23-yard line. I don't think you go for it here. I'm sure this will be a punting situation. As in that punting formation is going to be Callahan. Kamen gets the snap. He's going to put the foot into it. High kick floating into the wind, and it's going to be pushed out of bounds. And we'll see where it's at. It's going to be on the Overton side of the 30-yard line, but we'll see how far up they march it. It was out of bounds about 3 yards at the 30, and then they're still coming up, and they're going to say it's at the 35. So good field position here for Overton. They'll have it 1st and 10 from the 35-yard line, their side of the 40. And we mentioned it at halftime, Jeff. What you want to do is get the 3-and-out, get good field position, and then get something going, maybe get some points here. And so far, so good here for Overton. They got it 1st and 10 from the 35. Under center is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer will hand it off. Kahoy in the eye, gains maybe about 1, and that's all.
Yeah, and nice job there by, you know, we're getting Kahoy the ball again. It was only a 6th carry. We hadn't seen much of him. They're going to try him back in the backfield now, it looks like. But if you're Overton, great job forcing that three and out, getting great field position. I think it might be their best starting field position of the game, if not really close to it.
I think their last drive of the first half would have been very similar. I think they had it actually on the other 35.
That's right, and that forced that
point. They earned that because they drove the ball well to get that field position. Here they're going to hand it off to Davey right up the middle, and he's trying to fight off a couple of tacklers, and he's going to be pulled down just short of midfield. And so it's going to be third and about six coming up here for Overton. Well, part of the formula was you get a three and out, you get good field position, then you got to get some first downs. And we'll see what they can do here on third and about six. It might be a long five. And I wouldn't be surprised to see they put it in the air here, as Schaefer is going to be in the shotgun. No backs in the backfield. He's got slots on either side of the formation. Pressure coming, and he trips. I don't think they actually got him. He was just trying to avoid the pressure by Hansen, and Schaefer trips. He's going to lose about 7-8 yards. It's going to work as a sack. In any event, it's going to be a punting situation here for Overton, as just the turf got him as much as anything.
And it looked like they might have had Ryan here coming on the crossing route across the middle, and he was going to go to the right fake and then go throw across his body. But like you said, the turf monster got him, and he got there for the sack. So Overton turning it three and out.
Well, he was pressured by Hansen, no doubt about it. And so punting situation here. Schaefer with a high kick, and it's off the side of his foot, though, as it goes well out of bounds. As the wind kept pushing that one further and further away, that is not going to be the best punting effort you're going to see out of Joel Schaefer. We'll see where they mark it. The ball landed on the track, if it gives you any indication, and they're going to put it at the 35-yard line. So with the exchange of punts, a gain of 20 yards here for Hemmingford.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good punt. It was a nice spiral punt, Randy, but it was a straight V-line for the track. And I thought,
was trying to angle this way, and the wind carried it even more as it went out the side of the foot. So Hemmingford will have it now, first and 10 from the 35-yard line. Back nose of the football is at the 35, so they're actually inside the 30. They're about the 35. Okay, they're inside the 36. Wood will hand it off to you-know-who, Skinner. Skinner trying to get the corner, and there's plenty of team speed there as he'll gain maybe about 2 yards. It was extended enough on that far side that you got a lot of backside help, and Logan Kaiser, I think, was the first one that really hit him. It's still going to be a gain of about three, maybe three and a half, but you really kind of saw a lot of blue jerseys flying into the football.
Yeah, it looked like Hemmingford was pulling that back guard, but the Overton defensive line beat him to the play and had a bunch of hats on the ball, so not much going there for Hemmingford.
Wood's going to be in the shotgun formation here. High snap. Now the pressure comes, and do they get him? No, he breaks out of there. He's rolling out to the right. Wood still on his feet. He's got it at the 40, gets the corner at the 35, and is going to be knocked out of bounds at about the 30. That'll be a gain of about 12 on the play. It could have been a loss of about 7, as it was. Matthew Wood, awfully hard to wrap up as he scrambles out of there, and it'll be first and 10 from about the 28.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be a sack of about 12, and then it turned out to be a gain of 12. Two great downfield blocks there for Wood, picking them up there on the sideline. It looked like Skinner and Turek were the ones that picked it up. Got the first down in deep into Overton territory now at the 28-yard line. So
Davey fighting through a block, still had the blocker on him, so he couldn't really grab Wood effectively. Out of the pistol is Wood. Run a little counterplay. On the run here is going to be Turek. Turek breaks one tackle, cuts back to the inside, is down to about the 18-yard line. That'll be a gain right at 10 yards. And now Hemmingford again with a little bit of momentum once they kind of got it going. This is very similar to what they did their second drive of the first half, where they went down and moved the ball pretty effectively. They now have it second and inches from about the 18-yard line.
First big run by Turek. We'd seen him last week do a good job of what we just did there. Find the holes, find the right seams, and get good positive yards.
He's the fullback in the I formation. They hand it off to Skinner. Skinner off the left side has a nice little burst down to about the 11-yard line and into the Case IH red zone. Go the Hemmingford Bobcats, as it'll be first and 10 at about the 11.5-yard line. And again, that's exactly the way that one was drawn up. You had that lead blocker erasing the linebacker, and then a nice little gain here for Skinner. No huddle. They hand it off to Skinner. Same play to the right side. Skinner is going to be wrestled down inside the 5-yard line. And so it's going to be second and about 3 here for the Bobcats. And again, same play to the right, left. Same play to the right. And again, I'm not so sure why you do anything different here.
Tempo right here, too.
Yeah, they're playing fast.
And they're going to run the exact same play to the right side. Cutting back to the inside is going to be Skinner. He's fighting for the goal line. He's got enough for the first down, and they're going to mark him inside the one-yard line. So Ethan Skinner fighting for more and more yards, and it'll be first and goal inside the one. And again, I'm kind of surprised to even see him huddle here. Just run the next play to the left side. They only need about a yard here. It'll be first and goal from the one. 6:15 to go here in the third quarter. Under center is going to be Wood. Wood, quarterback sneak right up the middle. There's line surge and a touchdown. So Matthew Wood will put up the Bobcats 12-0 on the Overton Eagles. That stops the clock with 6:09 to go here, and it makes for a very quiet home crowd.
This pretty big conversion here. If they can get it up to 14-0 instead of 12-0, Randy, that could be, if Overton does find the end zone ever, could be a conversion game.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a big play, I would agree. And in the shotgun is going to be Wood. He's got two wideouts to the right, two to the left. High snap, but handling it is Wood. Wood's going to throw it. It's in the end zone. Two-point conversion's good. Caught over there by Brady Turek. Turek just kind of ran like he was going to go the back end of the end zone, cut back to the inside. Good timing pattern. The two-point conversion is good, and it is 14-0. Overton in a little bit of trouble here at home. They're trailing Hemingford 14-0 with 6:09 to go in the third quarter. We're back after this.
What you want is a quick connection to the World Wide Web, not get tangled up in it. And that's why you want Prairie iNet. Fast, wireless internet all across central Nebraska. Rural areas and cities alike for as little as $29.95 a month. You don't get tangled up in a bundle either. Plus, customer service handled live and local. Cut the cable. Cut the cord. Call Prairie iNet at 800-527-2404. 800-527-2404. Or log on to prairieinet.com. High-speed internet for the rest of us.
How many of us like all the fancy frills and sugar-coated talk when it comes to buying a big item like our next car or truck? If you're like us at Killian Motors, you just like straight talk. No games, no gimmicks, just upfront honest pricing with no hidden fees or charges after the sale. If you like to shop with no pressure, no hype for your next new or used vehicle and find out about our straight talk where service after the sale is our biggest goal, then try us at Killian Motors. 8th and Central
After Carney. The touchdown and the two-point pass by Matthew Wood, he now will kick off here. And it's a bit of a line drive, bouncing around. It is free, and it goes out of bounds. It'll go out of bounds at about the 18-yard line, so there'll be a flag on the play. And the one he had before went out of bounds about the 30, so that at least is 12 yards better than his last effort. And they'll issue the penalty, and again, Overton needs to get something going here. State High School football, playoff football, is brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. They'll move the ball out to the 25-yard line. That'll be the option they take. So it'll be first and 10 from the 25. They'll take the penalty from where the kickoff was, yep, and not based on where the ball went out of bounds. They were able to take it where it went out of bounds earlier because it was a better spot. Shotgun formation here for Schaefer. Schaefer, pressure coming, loses the football, has it stolen out of his hands, and that's a fumble that Blake Hansen's able to fall on. A strip sack. And what Overton could not afford to happen has just happened.
You want to say it was a tuck rule, but it was, he kind of pump faked Randy.
He got rid of the tuck rule.
So, I know. So he pump fakes it.
Very similar to that play, though.
And Hansen, I believe.
Yeah.
Blake Hansen just kind of grabs it and takes it. Ball falls on the ground. It was a wrestling match, and Hansen came out with a big turnover for Hemingford. Not what Overton needed at all.
Absolutely not. So it'll be first and 10 from the 20. Eagles defense needs to stiffen up here. They hand it off to Skinner. Skinner on that left side breaks a tackle. Bounces to the outside, running for the pylon. 25-yard touchdown for Skinner. So he takes it to the house. It only took him one play to add on to the lead after the turnover. So bang, bang, bang. You've got two touchdowns in the span of 12 seconds for Hemingford. And now they lead it 20-0. We're midway through the third quarter.
Randy. That was his 31st carry, and usually if you get that many carries this early in ballgame, you start to wear down. Skinner, that looked like his best run of the ballgame. He's already at 132 rushing yards for the big boy. 20-0, three-score ballgame for Hemingford. That might be too big of a battle for Overton to come back.
Well, they got plenty of time to do it here, and they start with this conversion here. Wood is in the shotgun, high snap. He's going to just quarterback draw right up the middle. They're trying to stop him. He lunges in with a football, and it's a two-point conversion. 22-0, Hemingford with a three-score lead with 5:57 to go in the third quarter. Lightning striking here for the Bobcats as they lead it by 22-0. We're back right after this.
Overton Sand and Gravel is a proud supporter of this broadcast and all area high school teams in and out of the game this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for when you need it rocked. Overton Sand and Gravel is the only name you need to remember. They carry everything from crushed concrete to river rock, decorative rocks, and gravel for driveways. There's no job too big or small for Overton Sand and Gravel, commercial or residential, concrete, and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and surrounding areas. This sports broadcast is made possible in part by Kappa Grain in Elm Creek. Did you know that Kappa has a way for you to save time, money, and get the best prices for your grain and have records of it? With their online offer center powered by DNT Market Space. See KappaGrains.com. Make sure you're getting what you deserve for all your hard work and dedication. Kappa takes great pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. Best of luck to all the area athletes from Kappa Grains.
Well, to be a champion, you have to sometimes find a way to respond when things are not going your way. And Overton is in that position right now. Jacob Horseman will be doing the kicking off, a low line drive kick. This one, too, is going to go out of bounds. This one bounced around enough. It really wasn't much of a chance that it was going to do anything but go out of bounds. And so there's a flag down where it went out at about the 19-yard line. So, again, it'll come out to the 25, and Overton will get it back there. Now, again, if you're Overton, you can't fix what just happened. You can fix it in a sense by going and getting a touchdown. If you do that, then you get a two-score game with still plenty of time here. But they're only really guaranteed about four, maybe five possessions the rest of the game. And they're down by three scores. So you do the math. They're going to have to get something done on virtually every possession here. So shotgun formation for Schaefer. Schaefer. With a little bit of blitz coming, throws it in underneath. It's going to be caught. It's going to be a big gain all the way out to about the 40-yard line. Just a nice little jump-off pass right up the middle, and falling on the football is the receiver. And I think, I still haven't had a real good chance to look at the jersey number. I think that's 25, Logan Kaiser. He landed on the football, and now the medical staff is attending to him. I think this is nothing more than losing the air out of the lungs a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't see a 25, so that's got to be Kaiser that made the catch. Just a nice little underneath route, and hitting him in stride with a good throw there is Joel Schaefer.
And if you're Overton, Randy, going back to what we were talking about right before the play, you're down three scores. You can't get all three on one drive.
Nope.
So you got to go one at a time. You know, my coach, whenever I was in high school, you're not down 22, you're down three. You're only down three scores. So look at it as 3-0. You got to get one at a time. So you've got four, maybe five possessions is the way we're looking at it. You got to get at least, if you don't get it now, you got to get a turnover defensively or hold them as well.
Yeah, you can't hit a five-run homer in baseball either.
And mm-mm.
I've seen people swing hard enough to try to make that happen. It is Kaiser, and again, I just think he fell on the football when he got tackled and kind of had the wind knocked out of him. And so they attend to him, and he'll be on the sideline. I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the field for the very next play here. It's right at midfield, first and 10 from the 40-yard line, and that's exactly what Overton needed to get something positive going here. But, again, they probably need points on this drive. If not, they need to force it down there, and their defense is also going to have to answer the bell as well. Out of the pistol is going to be Schaefer, and Schaefer will get it. He steps up, he throws it deep. He's got a man there, and it's going to be in and out of the hands at about the 10. Kahoy had it for a moment, and on the way down, Brady Turek was able to punch it out of there. Good job by Turek after Kahoy pretty much had it in his hands. Turek didn't give up on the play, was able to knock it out of his hands just as Kahoy was trying to secure it. A well-thrown ball. Again, not one that's going to get intercepted, and you had the chance of getting a 30-yard gain off of it. I wouldn't be surprised to see a very similar play down the road.
Yeah, Turek was the inside guy there, but Kahoy goes over and makes a play, but Turek, as they're going down, knocks the ball free.
Schaefer out of the pistol, throws it in underneath. Cahoy makes the catch at the 31-yard line, moves the pile forward for about another yard and a half, 2 yards. That'll be a gain of 11. We're moving the chains. First and 10 for the Overton Eagles. A couple of nice passes on this drive. They've moved it over 25 yards so far, and the clock stopped at the moment with 5:39 to go here, third quarter. The Eagles trail it 22-0. But again, you get points on this drive. Puts a different vibe, a different spin on the entire game. Pistol again is Schaefer. Gets the count, hands it off to the fullback. No, takes it out of there, runs to the outside. He's going to have enough of the first down, and it's going to be knocked out of bounds after a gain of about 12 as they forced him out of there. And again, that was a great little zone read. That ball was in the belly of Brad Davey, and then it was taken out of there when the defense collapsed on him, and he was able to just kind of take it off of Davey's backside and get it all the way out there for a gain of about 12.
Beautiful fake. Fake me out. I thought Davey had it all the way, Randy.
Well, he did, and he took it right out of his stomach. That was a nicely run zone read there, and we do have an injured Eagle on the play, somebody on the backside at about the 26-yard line. Looks like a problem with the left leg here for somebody. I think that might be Kaiser again.
I get a good number read here, Randy.
Yep.
Laying on his side.
And again, I don't see a 25. So that makes me think that that's who's laying on the ground there. Yeah, man, it looked to me like that might be a cramp. And that one might take a little bit more time to kind of come out of. In any event, right now, Overton is building a little bit of momentum. Now, obviously, the injury stoppage maybe takes away that momentum a little bit because the Hemingford sideline right now is the coaches are talking to them. They were able to give them water. They got their helmets off. Mm-hmm. They're basically getting a timeout here to try to circle the wagons. And the officials are allowing Overton to do the same thing as well. But, again, it's kind of like basketball. When you've got that momentum going, you see coaches call a timeout to stop the momentum. Well, right now, Overton's got that momentum.
Yeah, and they've had a great drive so far, Randy. The play calling has been really good. When they decide to throw it, those routes are good routes. They're good, crisp routes. They're correct routes, and they've been completed. The couple to Kaiser, one to Cahoy, and when they did the fakes, perfect execution on the read option. And Schaefer goes up, gets a first down, and it looked like I didn't even see where this guy got hurt.
It was on the back. It was after the play's over. That's another reason why I think it's cramp. I think it actually took place after the play was over as he was walking out of there. In any event, they're still attending to him. We're going to take a quick timeout here. With 5:21 to go here, 22-0, Overton is trailing in the third quarter. We got timeout on the field for an injury. We'll take a 30-second timeout. We'll be back right after this.
Whether you're filling your tank, your tummy, or you're in need of a vehicle repair, the place you need to know is Flatwater Food and Automotive in Overton. Flatwater is your one-stop shop for everything you need to keep your trip on schedule, whether it's a road trip or just a trip across town. So come have a coffee, tea, or soda and enjoy the warm, friendly atmosphere you've come to expect from the small-town store located on Highway 30 in Overton. Best of luck, Eagles, from Flatwater Food and Automotive, the other FFA.
Well, welcome back here. They're still attending to Logan Kaiser on the field as they are looking at him. And we got a little bit more information. Didn't see it happen, but after they broke the huddle, well, he vomited. And mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things that can kind of lead to that. And so they're attending to him. And one of those things potentially could be a concussion. And I think that's one reason why they're taking some extra time. Remember, he kind of had the wind knocked out of him before, and when that ball landed, and it could be associated with that too. He could have an upset stomach that's associated with that as well. So there's all sorts of things, and it kind of runs a little bit of the gamut of what the injury could be here. They're not worrying about it being spinal or anything like mm-mm. that because he was walking around. So at least that aspect of it is good news. So hate to speculate on exactly what the injury is here for Logan Kaiser. We'll remind you that State High School Football Playoffs brought to you by Tom Dinsdale Automotive at Stolly Park Road and Webb Road. Also online at DinsdaleAuto.com. And now they're sitting up. Logan Kaiser is they're still working with him. They're being very, very careful as coaching staff. Paul Heisenfeld down there talking to him, and they're taking their time to make sure that everything's all set up here, as we've had a little bit longer of a delay than we kind of thought, because yeah. It looked to me originally as just a cramp, but when we found out that there's there's upset stomachs involved, that is a little bit different animal.
And it really, you know, it felt like Overton really had the momentum going on this drive. You thought, oh, it's just a quick energy timeout. Maybe they could keep the tempo going. But at this point, you know, you're just standing over there. You haven't really kept your legs moving or loose. So yeah, it's good to see him up and, yeah, and walking
your
now.
The reality is, I mean, it's you're not worried as much about the momentum as you are about how Logan Kaiser's doing. And now he's walking off on his own. Okay. And it could be one of those things that here just a little bit, he's going to be kind of embarrassed. There was even a stoppage, and he's all out there and ready to go. But they're going to take a pretty good look at him to make sure that he is okay. And we'll keep an eye on it as well. Meanwhile, back in the football game, it'll be first and 10 from about the 18-yard line. Some nice drive here for Overton up to this point. This drive started at their own 25-yard line. They've got it now first and 10 from the 18, and Schaefer is going to be wrapped up, and there's going to be a loss on the play of about 7. Again, he kind of ran into that first back coming through. Looked like they were going to fake the handoff, play action pass and drop back, but the timing of that was off, and that's going to be a loss of about 7, and now it's going to be 2nd and 17. They need to get it inside the 10-yard line to about the 8.
Yeah, and Hanson came on the blitz that time, Randy, and if you're going to blitz, you want to do a quick play and a play action pass. Maybe adds a second or two longer, so he goes down for the sack there.
Well, if they buy the play action, that'll buy you some time as well. Man in motion. Now the pistol here. It's going to be Schaefer. He's rolling out to his right. Pressure's coming, and he is going to be sacked at about the 30.
Great coverage downfield. I mean,
yeah, that's a coverage sack is what that was.
Had a wheel route open for maybe a half a second, and then the Hemingford defender got there quick. Coverage sack, like you had said, just a tough two plays right there for Overton.
So Creighton Ryan was, I think, the intended receiver on one of the routes there, and so it's going to be 3rd and about 21. From about the 30-yard line. So what do you draw up here? You try to get half of it here and half of it the next play. Pressure coming. Screen on the left side. Caught. There's nobody out there. Trying to get the angle is going to be Hodson. Hodson beats the defender to the corner. Touchdown! A brilliant play call as they set up the screen, and everybody came on the blitz for Hemingford. There wasn't really anybody left to screen, and just outrunning the one defender was Hodson, and he's able to take it in for a 29-yard score. So finally, Overton erases the 0 on the scoreboard. They trail it 22-6, and with 3:57 to go here in the third quarter, I believe they're going to be looking at going for 2.
An absolute perfect wide receiver screen set up for Hodson. Hodson just simply outran the one guy that had a chance to beat him. Looked like he might have been caught at the 5, but that second level burst got him in the end zone.
Out of the pistol, this is going to be Schaefer. Movement up front. And the offensive linemen move, but it looked to me like the defensive linemen move first, and we'll see what they decide. Yeah, the defensive linemen caused the offensive linemen to move. And at least that's what the white hat just said, and the officials are huddling up here. In high school, if you move because of the action of the defense, the penalty is on the defense. I've never really understood that because you know the count, but we're not complaining in this situation as they'll now move the ball to the 1.5-yard line. It's not marked at the 1.5, but so a yard and a half to go here for Overton to get the two-point conversion, and we'll see. Maybe that convinces them to run the football.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we'll see what they do. A yard and a half out, we haven't seen Davey or Cahoy do much via the ground if they were going to go to the run. Now it's only a yard and a half. Maybe you go to the ground game.
Well, Cahoy will be in the eye here as Schaefer is under center. And it up to Cahoy, and he's going to be wrapped up. Boy, they came through on the run blitz, and virtually untouched was Blake Hanson to make the tackle of Cahoy as soon as he got hand of the football. So the try for 2 is no good. Score remains 22-6. Hemingford with a 16-point lead, but Overton getting on the board with 3:57 to go here in the third. We're back right after this.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents love to talk about satisfied customers and how they got that way.
I remember Bob and his old motorcycle. They were joined at the hip. Then somebody helped themselves to it. But because he insured it right, Shelter helped him get a new anniversary edition of the same model. Bob still misses his old bike, but he admits his new seat is a lot more comfortable.
Motorcycles to riding mowers, RVs to bass boats, we've got you covered.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Joe Methy.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers
Click. Hey, move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's and Kearney now delivers.
Well, Overton getting on the board with the touchdown. They trail it 22-6 with 3:57 to go. They'll kick off here, and they are still attending to Logan Kaiser. We'll talk more about that here in a moment. The kickoff is going to go through the end zone, and so that will be a touchback. The training staff right now walking up and down the sideline with Logan Kaiser and talking to him and that sort of thing. So I think it's still related to the idea that he had the wind knocked out of him, that upset his stomach, and it just had the effect later. I don't think it's – they're not really giving him a concussion test. In fact, they're having him jog and sprint things out and stuff like that, and you wouldn't do that if you were really thinking it is a concussion. So the ball is at the 15-yard line here for the Bobcats, and they're going to hand it off to Skinner. Skinner on that left side is able to bounce it all the way out to the 20-yard line. It just goes off that guard there and just trying to find a little bit of a seam as he goes between guard and the tight end and gains about five. And Hemmingford has found a way to be a little bit more successful with that play.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like he's going to get more than maybe a yard or two, Randy, but then when they spot the ball, he gets five. He just keeps going and going. Yards after contact, big for Skinner.
And again, they're kind of getting a little bit of a line surge, are the Bobcats. Again, they're going to run the same play that left side, and Davey and the rest of the guys kind of fighting through there, and a couple other guys help push the pile forward, and they finally go out of bounds. It's just short of the 25-yard line, and so it's going to be third and inches here, as, again, staying upright and just kind of keeping his jersey clean is Skinner, able to kind of run behind those blockers and find it hard for Overton to wrap him up. And it's just a tug of war that so far the Bobcats have been able to win.
Yeah, just carries a couple of them, and then it looks like the surge is going to stop. And then right at the very end, he gets two or three more yards.
Quarterback sneak, and there's not much room there for Wood. We'll see where they spot it. It appears they're going to give him enough for the first down. And I do believe when the white hat sets the ball down, well, he doesn't set it down. The other guy does, but it's going to be more than enough for the first down here.
The white hat was pointing, and the chain gangs, they almost just immediately start moving. There was a quick quarterback sneaker. You thought maybe they go to Skinner, but Wood got in himself that time.
So here we go with 3:08 to go in the third quarter. That clock is not the ally of the Overton Eagles because there's now exactly 15 minutes to go in the football game. And again, taking their time, working that clock. The Hemmingford Bobcats making their trip here to Central Nebraska twice in the last week. Off that left side is going to be Skinner, and Skinner, no room to run at all, maybe gains a yard and a half, and so it's going to set up now second and long.
Give you a quick Valentino's score update here, Randy. The other team we're having covered on Classic Hits 98.9, Stewart, or Amherst, excuse me, falling right now to Stewart. That's in the fourth quarter, 22-8. The other D2 semifinal, Fall City Sticker Heart, the number one seed on the road at Why Not. They're up 26-8 in the second quarter.
That's pretty impressive on the road there. Second and eight here. Shotgun formation. High snap goes through the hands of Turek. Turek tracks it down. By the time he comes up with it, he tries to outrun the defense, and he's down at the 10-yard line. I'll tell you what, the Eagles defense, when that ball hit the turf, it was like blood in the water and a bunch of sharks. They were swarming, and the tackle made there. And so down inside the 10-yard line, a huge loss as the snap went through the hands of Turek in kind of a wildcat formation there.
Huge play there, because if you're going to force them to punt here, basically, you're going to get good field position, you're going to try and punch it in right before the quarter break.
Wood's going to hand it off to Skinner. Skinner trying to get the corner out there. Davey is able to knock him out of bounds. And so, sure, they'll gain a few yards, but it's going to be fourth and a whole bunch here, fourth and about, 22 or so. So, obviously, you're going to punt. And, again, that play cost them a lot of field position as well.
You know, we'd seen Overton be the team that made the mistakes. Finally, Ford has made one. We'll see if Overton can capitalize on it.
The punter is standing at the goal line, and a high kick, pressure coming. He goes down. There's a flag thrown, and it goes out of bounds. There was a lot of pressure there, and they're going to say that it was untouched, and I think that's going to be rough. Yeah, it's personal foul, roughing the punter.
And so that'll be an automatic first down. What a crushing turn here for Overton. They were just a stride too late. And when the ball went off the side like that, I thought maybe it was partially deflected. The officials did not indicate that it was. And so that'll be a 15-yard penalty and automatic first down, I believe.
I believe so, too. But they're talking with the Hemingford captain, so it might not be an automatic first down.
No,
here.
They'll take the 15-yard penalty. It wasn't a good punt either way. And it is still fourth down. It's not an automatic first down. I always thought it was.
So there'll still be a punting situation, but that's a big 15 yards, Randy.
Yeah,
basically,
it's going to be fourth and seven. Yeah, it's 15 yards.
The sack that you had made right there was given right back.
So it's going to be fourth and seven. It'll still be a punting situation as Kamen. But, again, that was a terrible punt. It would have been about the 28-yard line, about right now where they're snapping the ball is where Overton would have got it. Well, now that I say
it is an automatic first down.
I always thought it was. And now they confer, and it is an automatic first down. So, yeah, that's a crushing play there. Minute 27 to go in the third quarter. Instead of getting the ball at about the 30-yard line because of the roughing the punter call, and it's probably the right call if it was not deflected. So they're going to pitch it out to Skinner. Skinner cuts back to the inside, runs over one Eagle, and is going to be down at about the 31-yard line. Wow, he hit that linebacker coming through the hole there and bopped him back about 4 yards. He doesn't really gain a whole lot of yards after that because there was plenty of help there by the defensive lineman. Making the tackle, Davey. Zachary Zaleski also in on the tackle.
Yeah, Skinner laid the blow to his own guy there too. So, I mean, it's a little friendly fire. And Skinner, when he hits you, it hurts, and it hurts bad.
Pretty good collision there. Under center is going to be Wood. Skinner in the eye. They'll pitch it out to him. He's trying to get to the outside. Cuts back to the inside, and he'll get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. Brad Davey didn't make the tackle, but he was able to string that one out and force it back to the inside. And when he cut back inside, Zachary Zaleski was there. So big number 68 and 63 combining for a nice defensive play here for Overton as it'll be third and about seven. And I think they're going to have to snap the football here as we're in the final throws of the third quarter. 22-6, Hemingford with the lead. And they will have to snap it. They're waiting for that countdown, and the countdown is beginning. They'll pitch it out to big number Skinner. Skinner gets to the outside, turns it down the sideline, and is going to be out of bounds after he gets across midfield and all the way down to the 25-yard line. He got that edge and was able to just kind of outrun a couple of defenders. And it'll be first and 10 from the 25-yard line here for the Bobcats with 6.2 to go here in the third quarter. And that, again, we've had a couple of plays in this series. Obviously, the roughing the punter penalty, and then that run right there. Overton poised to get the ball back in fairly good field position. Well, they cannot afford to give up any more points. They're going to hand it off here to Skinner. Skinner on that left side runs right back up the middle, and he's going to be short of the first down, but not by much, as he comes up and is going to have a gain of right at 9 yards. Just power football right now for Hemingford, as their momentum is pushing them forward here. They lead it 22-6. They'll have it second and one just outside the red zone. We start the fourth quarter, 22-6 Bobcats. We come back right after this.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
The three L's of PlatteRiverPreps.com. Log on for info on all your favorite teams with links to articles organized by school and sport. Listen to any of the radio broadcasts on our 5 Platte River radio stations and download podcasts to past events. And like us on Facebook to get select pictures and breaking news of high school sports going on.
Platte River Preps, your one-stop source for high school sporting news, covering over 100 teams across the state of Nebraska. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com.
And welcome back here to Overton. The Eagles defense needs to make a stop here. Second and two, very quickly, they hand it off the middle, and that's going to be an illegal procedure penalty or delay a game. They actually snapped the football before it was blown ready for play by the officials. Overton did the exact same thing earlier, late in the second quarter, so that's a painful five-yard penalty. Break here a little bit for Overton, and they haven't got a whole lot of breaks. Remember, this drive kept alive because of a roughing the punter penalty. Had they not roughed, it would have been Overton football at about the 25, maybe the 28-yard line. Under center here is going to be Matthew Wood. And Skinner will be in the eye. They pitch it to Skinner. Skinner cuts back to the inside, has a seam, has it down the sideline, and he's in for the touchdown. Perfectly blocked there by the Bobcats, and they take it in for a 22-yard run in what might be the dagger. First play of the fourth quarter pushes lead out to 28-6. Hemmingford with the lead, and they'll be trying the two-point conversion here.
An absolutely perfect kickout block by Turk, the fullback, and just shoved his man out. Skinner cuts it right up on the left side, just beats his man to the ball, and didn't walk into the end zone, but, man, he got there pretty quickly.
Shotgun formation here for Wood as they go for two. There's no backs in the backfield. And he's looking to his left, and the pass is tipped. Nice job there. Deflected by Zachary Zaleski to stop the two-point conversion. And with 11:52 to go in the fourth, Overton's got a lot of work to do and not much time to do it. They trail it 28-6 with 11:52 to go in the fourth. We're back after this.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS service center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
Quick out, 35-40, down the right sideline.
Tremendous impact.
He's at the 15 and the 10. He's at the 5-yard line, touchdown.
Great frequency and a big score with local fans.
Lunges and goes in for the touchdown.
When you advertise on Platte River Radio's huge array of high school sports broadcasts.
High school volleyball is on the air.
If we haven't contacted you yet, give us a nudge. We'd be proud to call your business our sponsor. Send an email to sportsmarketing@espnsuperstation.com or call 308-236-9900.
10-5, touchdown.
Jacob Hortzman, a kickoff here for the Bobcats, and it is a high kick. First time they've really tried to kick it deep all day, and they kick it in the end zone for the touchback. As Joel Schaefer will just let it sail over his head and out of bounds. So ball will be spotted at the 15-yard line, and Overton needs to convey the next 65 yards and get it done pretty darn quickly. They are now down by three scores with 11:52 to go, so they're going to have to get some three and outs. They're going to have to get some, everything's pretty much have to go their way from here on out, but it can be done. There's no question it can be done. They just need to maybe come up with a big play, maybe get a break, and not rough a punter. Now, that was a very painful play in that third quarter.
Quick score, force a turnover.
You bet. Joel Schaefer out of the pistol. Going to keep it himself, trying to get to the corner. Has it on that sideline. He goes out of bounds at about the 20, so it'll be a nice little gain of five. And as important as anything else, it stops the clock. And you hate to talk about time consumption, time saving with 11:45 to go in a football game, but that's exactly where we're at right now, as Overton does need to extend this game as much as they possibly can.
Schaefer trying to do it all for him right now, just kind of carrying the team on his back. Randy, 13 carries, 45 yards. They need to try and get Kahoy the ball, I feel.
They're going to say that he stepped out of bounds before he lunged at the 20, so it's a gain only of three. Now Schaefer's going to drop back to throw, throws it in the middle. It's going to be caught, and the tackle immediately, but a nice catch in traffic there by Justin Hodson, and Hodson has it across the 21-yard line. Clock will keep moving here, and it'll be third and four. 11:30 to go in the football game. It is 28-6. The young team from the Panhandle in the greater Alliance area right now with a 22-point lead. At the 21-yard line will be number 23, Joel Schaefer, asking for the ball out of that pistol. Put a man in motion, and he's looking for Kahoy.
Cahoy goes deep. He's got a man. And the pass is caught by Cahoy. He has a little stiff arm. He breaks free. And he is going to go for a touchdown. 59 yards on a great throw. You mentioned it. Need to have a big play. And that's exactly what Overton got there. They get a 59-yard strike. And with 10:58 to go here in the fourth quarter, it's 28-12.
A great move by Cahoy. He was covered out there. He goes up in front of the other defender, makes the catch, then lets the defender's momentum take him, stops, waits there for a second. Randy walks in the last 15 yards for the touchdown and a quick score, exactly what Overton needed.
And they also could use a two-point conversion here. They're going to go with the pistol formation. Schaefer in the pistol. Davey's behind him. Davey picks up the blitz, throws it in underneath, and the pass is caught by Creighton Ryan for two. So the two-point conversion makes it 28-14, 10:58 to go in the fourth quarter, and Overton getting right back in it. It's a 14-point ball game, and we're back right after this.
Whether you're filling your tank, your tummy, or you're in need of a vehicle repair, the place you need to know is Flatwater Food and Automotive in Overton. Flatwater is your one-stop shop for everything you need to keep your trip on schedule, whether it's a road trip or just a trip across town. So come have a coffee, tea, or soda and enjoy the warm, friendly atmosphere you've come to expect from this small-town store located on Highway 30 in Overton. Best of luck, Eagles. From Flatwater Food and Automotive, the other FFA. Overton Sand and Gravel is a proud supporter of this broadcast and all area high school teams in and out of the game this year. Call Overton Sand and Gravel for when you need it rocked. Overton Sand and Gravel is the only name you need to remember. They carry everything from crushed concrete to river rock, decorative rocks, and gravel for driveways. There's no job too big or small for Overton Sand and Gravel, commercial or residential, concrete, and other rock. Overton Sand and Gravel, serving Overton and surrounding areas.
Kyle Kamen and Brady Turek back deep here for Hemmingford. And the Eagles will tee it up. That's going to be Chris Seeberger. And we were kind of talking during the break. I think they kick it deep here because I think Hemmingford would be somewhat ready for an onside kick. In fact, they've got a couple of their other guys are back a little bit closer. And it is going to be the regular traditional deep kick. And picking up near the goal line is going to be Turek. Turek trying to get the middle, up the middle he goes, and he is tripped after he crosses the 15-yard line. And making the play there is Logan Johnson. And you know what? If Johnson doesn't get there, that was open enough that he might have been able to squirt through there. There wasn't any blue jerseys filling that hole. And so just an eyelash away from that maybe being a kickoff return for a touchdown. But Johnson does make the play, and the ball will be spotted just short of the 20-yard line. And, again, you need a three and out here if you're Overton. Just need to get the ball back. Turnover, obviously, would be huge in this situation as well. Wood pitches it to Skinner. Skinner on that right side, and there isn't much room at all to go. He gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that is about it. And coming up from the bottom of the pile after making the tackle is Zachary Zaleski. Zaleski fought off his man, and you know who's going to get the football. So you just kind of start fighting off your blocker, and you start looking for number 45, and he was able to find him after a gain maybe of the length of a football. Nose of the ball is right on the 20-yard line. And again, I formation. They're going to hand it off to the fullback, and they were ready for that as well because the tackle immediately by Brad Davey. And they'll move the marker there about another foot and a half. So it's going to be third and nine here. That defense for Overton, so far, so good.
Oh, great job there by Davey, Grandy. They went with Turek there instead of Skinner, and Davey read it perfectly, got another foot on the play.
I formation, Wood under center. Hands it off to Skinner. Skinner cuts back to the inside, breaks a tackle, brings it across the 30, out to about the 35, the 36-yard line. They just couldn't rope him down, as there was one guy that had a chance to stop, and that was well blocked by the Bobcats. And it'll be first and 10 here for Hemmingford. And again, you might have thought that they were going to throw the football, but they did that quick little hitter and a good lead block there by Brady Turek, and a big gain of about 14 or 15 here for Hemmingford.
Just missed tackles, Randy. They had hit him in the backfield. Looked like maybe they had got him. Skinner shook him off, got hit again. Near the line of scrimmage, shook him off.
You got to hit him below the
back. Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, you can't hit him above the waist there.
So under center again is going to be Matthew Wood. Wood hands it off to Skinner. Skinner right up the middle, going to be stopped short of the 40-yard line. That'll be a gain of about 3.5, and it'll set up second and 6.
Quick note on Skinner, Randy. 33 carries, 223 yards.
28-14. Hemmingford with a 14-point lead with 8:57 to go in the football game and ticking. And again, Hemmingford is going to milk the clock as best they can.
43 carries for Skinner.
Well, count how many plays they've had from offense. Add 7, and that would be about it. They hand it off to the right side.
Holding
and Skinner
play.
Tries to get there. There's a flag down. He's actually going to lose yards. Cahoy ripping at the football, trying to knock it out of him. Couldn't do it. They lost about 5. There's also a flag on the play. That's going to be a hold on the Bobcats. Depends where they spot this. To me, it looked like
first
he lost 5 on the play, so you wouldn't want, you know, take the play,
lose the down. It was a first holding penalty of the game for Hemmingford. You know, the young offensive line doing a good job, but gang tackling there by Overton, not letting Skinner get anything.
Yeah, they lost about 6 on the play, so it's going to set up now. Be 3rd and 12, isn't it? Yeah. They flip it over, so it'll be 3rd and about 12. And again, you need the ball back.
You need to get a stop here.
In the first quarter, when time wasn't a factor, you might have taken that penalty. But here, you're going to decline it because you want to get the ball back. Clock is stopped because he went out of bounds with 8:36 to go. High formation. Skinner gets the handoff. Skinner up the middle. Skinner forced down at about the 40, and it's going to be 4th and 5. So a punting situation here for the Bobcats. And it took another 4 plays from what the Eagles wanted to do. They wanted a 3 and out, but it's going to turn into probably a 7 and out here, as in punt formation is going to be Kyle Kamen. And back deep for the Eagles is Joel Schaefer. And how big would a nice punt return be here?
Set up the return last time you had the roughing on the penalty. They're not even sending anybody.
And that's a line drive kick that goes out of bounds. It landed at the goal line.
Should be spotted inside the 10, I believe.
Yeah, they're going to be moving it up. It hit at about the goal line, about 3 yards out of bounds.
The 5.
And they're going to set him up at the 5-yard line. That's where they're going to say it went out of bounds. And that's the right call. I mean, I think it's clearly in the field of play somewhere where it went out of bounds. And so 75 yards away is Overton. And they need to find some way to traverse that here in the final 7:55 here. They score here. Now you make it a 1-possession game. And then it gets kind of interesting. Then we can have some fun. Cahoy will be in the I formation. Under center is going to be Joel Schaefer. Schaefer at the 5. Hands it off to his fullback, Davey. Is tackled down after he gains about 6. Quick little hitter there. Nice little 6-yard gain. And they had a lead blocker out there for him. And if he just could have sustained that block a little bit more, Davey could have rumbled for a few more yards. It is a nice gain of 6.
Looked like he may have slipped a little bit there too, but credit Turk on the tackle.
Out of the pistol formation is Schaefer. Schaefer throws. It's caught, and it's going to be a gain of just a couple of yards as the pass is thrown in underneath. And again, making the catch is Creighton Ryan. And Ryan will gain about 3. It'll set up now 3rd and about 1.5 yards. And we've got a stoppage as we've got an injured Bobcat, and that's Matthew Wood. And Wood very gingerly walking out the field on that far side. That's either a knee or an ankle. In any event, he's coming off. And that's a fairly important piece of the Bobcat machinery over there.
Yeah, he's the safety. He had 3 interceptions last week for the Bobcat defense.
And obviously, offensively, in terms of getting something going there. Schaefer, 3rd and 1, will throw it out here. Caught by Cahoy. He's got the first down, trying to break a tackle. Spins, does, breaks it, gets to the outside, and he'll be about the 26, 27-yard line, as that'll be a gain of about 8 on the play, moving the chains. And again, it'll stop the clock, not just to move him, but because he got out of bounds. So the 27-yard line, it'll be 1st and 10 here for Overton. 6:58 to go in a 28-14 ball game. Eagles are down by 14. Touchdown here, very, very important to their cause. Schaefer out of the pistol. Has 3 guys split wide to his left.
Hemingford with the blitz.
Pressure coming. Schaefer looking. Schaefer is going to throw it, and it's past the line of scrimmage and out of bounds, and they're going to throw a flag. He was well outside of the tackle box. He was on the sideline, but there wasn't anybody there. And the rules are a little bit different in the high school game than it is in the college game. You have to have a receiver in the area. I believe they're going to, it's basically going to be, there'll be loss of down. There wasn't anybody near him at all.
The closest guy was 15 yards. They did get past out of the tackle box and past the line of scrimmage of Randy, but you're right. He wasn't there. I mean, there wasn't a guy. The Overton coaches were pointing at the closest guy, but I don't think he was within the 15 yards.
He got it past the line of scrimmage, and he was outside the tackle box, and in the pro game, that'd been enough. But we're playing on, well, I guess pros are playing Monday today as well. So tough loss here. Schaefer now with the pressure coming. He's going to throw it, lobs it deep, and it's going to be incomplete. Had to get rid of it quickly because of the pressure, and it falls incomplete. Pretty good coverage on that far side as they were trying to connect with Cahoy. And again, there just wasn't time for Schaefer to throw it as the blitz continues to work here for Hemingford. And if you're the Bobcats, I think I'd do it again.
Yeah, why not? I mean, third and 23, Overton's going to try to get two cracks out of your Hemingford. If the blitz works, it's pretty much going to cripple Overton.
Well, you probably would punt if this is an incomplete pass, I would think. Schaefer will be in the shotgun. Hopefully we won't face that. They'll put a man in motion. That is Cahoy. Cahoy comes across the pattern. They're trying to connect with Ryan, and it falls incomplete. Thrown a little bit behind Ryan, and it was knocked out of there by Kamen. Probably was going to take a perfect pass, and that one was about a yard from being perfect.
You know, nice job there by the running back picking up the blitz, coming on that right side, and a nice throw, but like you said, just about a half yard behind him. Incomplete, so it'll be punting time, you would believe.
Yeah, it was off of the left side, and it needed to be in front of his, just to his right a little bit. So punting situation here for Schaefer. Schaefer will put his foot into it at about the 5.
Oh.
It is a wobbly kick. It is shanked, and it'll be about the 25-yard line, I think, when they mark it. They're going to move him up here as the official keeps coming up. It landed at about the 30-yard line, but well out of bounds.
Penalty flag on that far sideline.
There's a flag on the far sideline. They're going to mark it at about the 25. Now they're going to come over here and talk to the white hat.
Not sure who this is on.
Legal procedure on Overton. And the Hemingford coaches are already saying, nope, we'll take the football right here.
Great field position.
Take it at the 25-yard line.
Tough break for Overton there. They're going to be down 2 scores. They're going to need probably a turnover here at this point.
And again, if you're Hemingford, you're going to be very conservative, and you're just going to run the football. You got anybody in mind to run the football for Hemingford?
Number 45, Ethan Skinner, would be probably the guy to go to.
I think we're going to see a steady diet of him from here on out. Maybe they'll surprise you by hitting the fullback Turek here. In any event, under center is going to be Matthew Wood. Wood hands it to Skinner, right up the middle, breaks one tackle, has it across the 25, down to the 15, and he's going to be forced out of bounds at about the 10-yard line. Saving the touchdown was Logan Kaiser back into the ball game and making a play from his safety position, but it'll be first and goal from the 10-yard line as we're in the Case IH red zone. And points here of any type would probably spell doom for any chance that Overton has. 6:34 to go, can still get there, but you have to stop them from scoring. It's a two-possession game as Wood will hand it off to Skinner. Skinner to that left side, and he's going to be wrestled down by Schaefer. And a nice job there by Skinner to stay in bounds. He actually intentionally fell instead of being forced out of bounds to keep that clock moving, and it is still moving. 6:13 to go in the football game, 28-14. Hemingford with the lead, and they've got it now second, and I think you can get a first down. Yeah, they're standing it up, so they can get a first down right inside the one-yard line. The second and 10, pitch this time to Skinner. Skinner trying to get to the pylon and does. He's able to outrun the defenders as he had a lead blocker over there. And he gets the corner turned, a 10-yard run for Skinner. And with 5:53 to go here in the fourth quarter, it is 34-14 Hemingford.
Yeah, they run that pitch play numerous times, Randy, and they cut back just when Turek gets that nice kick-out block, cuts it up, and just finds the pylon. And another 10-yard touchdown run for Skinner pretty much wraps this one up, I think.
Well, again, funnier things have happened. And they're going to go with an entirely new lineup here as they're going to split two guys wide to the right, two to the left. Only three in the middle of the field. Shotgun formation for Wood. Wood's going to scramble, and he's in for the two-point conversion. Well, they spread everything out, got a lot of guys to the outside part of the field, and then a quarterback draw. So the two-point conversion is good. It is 36-14 with 5:53 to go here in the fourth quarter. 22-point lead for Hemmingford when we come back right after this.
You need power, efficiency, and dependability from your tractor, and when it's time to trade, you want the best resale value. That's what you get with Case IH Magnum Tractors from Fairbanks International. With nine models, Case IH Magnums set productivity standards the competition just can't match. For a limited time, you can finance your new Magnum with an interest waiver for 12 months. For power, efficiency, ease of maintenance, comfort, and financing, see the Case IH Magnum from Fairbanks International. Better solutions.
This sports broadcast is made possible in part by Kappa Grain in Elm Creek. Did you know that Kappa has a way for you to save time, money, and get the best prices for your grain and have records of it? With their online offer center powered by DNT Market Space. See KappaGrains.com. Make sure you're getting what you deserve for all your hard work and dedication. Kappa takes great pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. Best of luck to all the area athletes from Kappa Grains.
Well, Ethan Skinner with 252 yards rushing, four touchdowns, and a 36-14 lead right now for Hemmingford. And the Bobcats will kick it off. And it's Cahoy at the five-yard line trying to find a seam up the middle. And he kind of dances around to about the 25, 27-yard line. Not a big seam to run through at all as he kept slipping through there. The pile kept moving forward, which never really had the sense. Even though that's a good return, never had the sense that that one was going to go to the house. That's kind of what the Eagles are going to need here. They're going to need a lot of quick scores very, very quickly. And now you're to the point where now you got to get some onside kicks and things like that. But it can be done. It happens all the time. First and 10 at the 27. There's a lot of games all over the place, low percentage, but it's going to happen to somebody somewhere this week. Pass up the middle, nearly intercepted as they're trying to connect to Cahoy, and making a good read on it is Cody Larson. And Larson, a sophomore safety, able to step up and make the play. Clock stopped with 5:43 to go.
We saw it just last drive, the nice 59-yard touchdown run from Schaefer to Cahoy. That was, a two- or three-play drive. So we've seen it done. They just needed to do it again and do it again.
Now they need it probably three times. And so they certainly have enough speed. Split out to the outside. That's going to be Cahoy. And Cahoy will lead block because a quarterback draw here by Schaefer. Schaefer, nice little run up the middle. He's going to gain about 10. It looks to me like he's got enough for the first down. It depends where they spot it. And it is going to be enough for the first down. So they'll stop the clock with 5:36 to go. 36-14, 22-point lead for Hemmingford. And near midfield, they'll start the clock as Overton Eagles have it first and 10. Schaefer looking to throw. Gets it out to Davey, and it is going to be incomplete. Timing of that was off.
Yeah.
Now, people are complaining that the intended receiver got hit, but the intended receiver was in the backfield.
It looked like Wood.
So you can get away with that a little bit when you're doing that.
Wood had wanted to get it to him earlier, and the running back wasn't looking. Then finally Wood just threw it, even though he wasn't looking, and turned around at the right time. And like you said, in the backfield, contact right when the ball got there. So good no call.
So that does stop the clock now. It'll be second and 10. Now the shotgun is going to be Schaefer. Schaefer throws it in the middle, passes tipped, and incomplete. Closest one after the tip was Brad Davey, as it was intended for Kaiser, and it falls incomplete. That would have been gained maybe a 5 yards. So a 22-point deficit here for Overton. And again, they need to have something magical happen. Schaefer in the shotgun. Two wideouts to the right, two to the left, which is the wide side of the field. Another quarterback draw, and now we've got a stoppage just as soon as they snap it. And I think we got a timeout called by Hemmingford just in the nick of time. Timeout brought to you by Joe Methy's Shelter Insurance of Kearney. 5:22 to go in the fourth. 36-14.
Overton down by 22. They'll have a 3rd and 10. We come back right after this.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
We're back here in Overton where the Eagles have some work to do here. They trail at 36-14 with 5:22 to go. Coverage of high school football brought to you by Channel Seed in Hildreth. Go see Zeke and Bear today and see how they can help you grow. Schaefer's going to keep it on the quarterback scramble, and he's going to be sacked for a loss. Colt Foster from that defensive end position kind of read the potential of having that little quarterback keeper, and it's actually a loss of one on the play, and 4th and 11 here for Overton. Shotgun again for Schaefer. He has to give up a little bit of ground. His pressure's coming. Throws it deep. It's going to be caught by Cahoy at the 20. The 15 breaks the tackle, and it's going to be inside the 8-yard line. Saving the score is Brady Turek, and a great break on the ball by Hayden Cahoy as it was underthrown intentionally by Schaefer, and Cahoy with the break on the ball, and it'll be 1st and goal inside the Case IH red zone. No huddle again. Shotgun for Schaefer. They wind the clock. 4:50 to go. Schaefer looking to throw. Throws it in underneath. It's going to be caught. There's a flag down. Fighting for extra yards is going to be Logan Kaiser. Kaiser has it inside the 3 and a relatively late flag thrown right at the 10-yard line. And we'll see what the official on the far side saw as he comes over and talks to the guy in the white hat. Illegal procedure on Overton.
Big play by Cahoy. That's the 2nd long deep pass, and this time it was on 4th down. So basically your season is on the line for Overton bringing it in. And a quick trying to get a quick play going. And an illegal procedure backs them up 5. But at this point, I don't think 5 yards matters at all.
4:43 to go, 36-14. Checking the wristband for the play is Joel Schaefer. He's in the pistol. Behind him is Brad Davey. Davey picks up the blitz. Pass in the middle is incomplete. Kaiser was in that area. So was Cahoy. It was either in front or behind. Either one of those two guys as they kind of were running a crossing pattern there. And the pass falls incomplete.
Good coverage there by Larson, the linebacker, staying with the quick one, Cahoy. Looked like Cahoy maybe could have got that one, but I think if he would have caught it, it would have been a quick tackle. Clock would have kept running. So almost a good incompletion.
As long as you do get a completion
that
gets into the end zone.
That is correct.
As long as you get that. So it'll be 2nd and goal from the 13-yard line. Shotgun is Schaefer. Schaefer, a little bit of pressure coming. He's going to run, and he's going to be sacked. He is sacked by Ethan Skinner.
Penalty flag.
And there is a flag down that comes late. I think there might have been a 2nd hit there.
Schaefer looked like he was... He is limping.
Yeah, he's coming up gingerly here.
Would it be a face mask or just a personal foul?
Just a personal foul.
There's your 1st down.
I think they hit him after Schaefer was down. And so that'll be a personal foul. And just like the roughing the punter was a personal foul, I think this comes with an automatic 1st down. So they'll take him half the distance to the goal as he'll go from the 15 to about the 7.5. Nope, it is 3rd down. It's not an automatic, only the roughing the punter is.
You would have thought with the personal foul.
Yeah, he said it was 3rd down. Because it came after the play. So they'll wind the clock here. Clock's moving. Schaefer in the pistol. And a little bit of movement on that right side, but it was legal apparently, and quick little run up the middle here by Schaefer as he's inside the 5-yard line. It's going to be 4th and goal from the 5. 4:10 to go in the football game. You've got to get the touchdown here on 4th down and 5. Schaefer has Davey behind him, and Schaefer is going to be in the pistol. Hemingford acting like they're going to blitz, and they do. The throw into the end zone is caught for the touchdown. Haven't seen anybody with the indication yet, but making the catch was Cahoy. I still haven't seen hands in the air, but it is a touchdown.
I saw the hands in the air as soon as it was caught.
Well, it was up there very quickly.
Yeah, no.
The two officials closest to it didn't call it. In any event, it was caught for the touchdown, and that'll make it now 36-20. So you need a couple of two-point conversions yet in the ball game if you're Overton. 3:53 to go. Nice little catch over there by Cahoy. Has made a nice little sliding catch, and now it's going to be Schaefer out of the shotgun here, and they snap it to him a little bit early. The ball is loose. It's on the ground, and the try for two is no good. Ball was snapped before they were ready for it, and so the try for two goes no good. 3:53 to go in the fourth quarter. It's 36-20. We'll see if they try the onside kick when we come back in 30 seconds.
Hit the road with a four-door sedan loaded with luxury. Tom Dinsdale offers this 2013 Cadillac XTS, stock number 98950, with a V6, six-speed automatic, and white diamond tri-coat finish. Sale priced for under $50,000. Qualified buyers can take advantage of an available $5,000 rebate. Take a test drive today in this great example of personal luxury at Tom Dinsdale Automotive, Stolly Park Road at Webb Road in Grand Island. Check out the entire inventory at DinsdaleAuto.com.
Well, 3:53 to go in the football game. We'll see if Overton decides to do the onside kick here because they still need to get two touchdowns. And because of that failed two-point conversion, they need to get two-point conversions as well. So a lot of things still have to go right here for Overton as they trail it by 16. And seven guys are within 15 yards of Cahoy as he is teeing it up here. And, again, you got a different guy teeing it up from Seaburger, who's been doing most of the kicking duties here. So Cahoy will do the onside kick here as they go with it on that far left hash. Cahoy will set everybody in motion. It's bouncing, and it's going to go out of bounds. It never did go 10 yards, and number two puts two hands on the side of his helmet as it goes out of bounds, and from there it'll be Hemmingford football.
You did it about right. I mean, it was a good end-over-end kick. It was angled, and it was only going to go about 7.5 yards. Maybe if he goes an angle or two more to this way, it would have went the required 10 yards. Good kick, just didn't go the required amount.
Yeah, you need to kind of aim for that 40 that's painted on the number painted right at midfield there.
Overton.
So the ball will be at the 36-yard line. And under center is going to be Matthew Wood. Wood hands it off to Skinner. Skinner stopped in the backfield, fighting off the block and making the tackle is J.D. Callahan. That'll be a loss on the play. Overton still has three timeouts left. But, again, they need to get the ball back twice. So they're not necessarily going to use him up in this situation. It'll be second and 11. 3:30 to go in the football game. 36-20. Hemmingford with a 16-point lead and the football near midfield.
Strip that ball, punch it. That's the only thing you can do right now if you're Overton.
Yeah, and Skinner, I'm sure when he gets handed the ball here, which I'm sure will happen, will be wrapping two arms around it. They actually hand it off to the fullback right up the middle. And has a nice little gain for Turek of about 2.5, 3 yards. And it's going to be 3rd and 9. Inside of 3 minutes to go in the football game, 36-20. Hemmingford with a 16-point lead. Last week I saw a dramatic come-from-behind win by Why Not.
Looks like
hoping for the same sort of scenario here for the guys wearing the blue hats.
Looks like Hemmingford's going to use all the time and then use their timeout.
Yeah, they do call the timeout here with 2:36 to go. They'll figure out what they want to do on 3rd and nearly 10. We'll call it 3rd and 9. This timeout brought to you by Joe Mathley Shelter Insurance of Kearney. We'll take it with them. 2:36 to go in the football game. 36-20. Overton down by 16. We come back right after this.
Quick out, 35-40, down the right sideline.
Tremendous impact.
He's at the 15 and the 10. He's at the 5-yard line, touchdown.
Great frequency and a big score with local fans.
Full lunges and goes in for the touchdown.
When you advertise on Platte River Radio's huge array of high school sports broadcasts.
High school volleyball is on the air.
If we haven't contacted you yet, give us a nudge. We'd be proud to call your business our sponsor. Send an email to sportsmarketing@espnsuperstation.com or call 308-236-9900.
10-5, touchdown.
Well, there's a bounce that's got to come Overton's way if they're going to pull off this game. They trail at 36-20 with 2:36 to go here, fourth quarter. It'll be 3rd and 9 here for Hemmingford from about the 30, 35, 36-yard line. Under center is Wood. In the eye, as usual, is Skinner. Hand off to Skinner. Skinner off that left guard. He's hit by about three or four guys. First one there is Joel Schaefer, and Schaefer is going to call the timeout. They get the ball to the 35-yard line. And just about everybody wearing a blue shirt came off the bottom of that pile. Davey helped make the pile. Zaleski made the pile as well. And a timeout here. And we'll take it with him. It'll be fourth and punting situation here for the Bobcats with 2:31 to go in the fourth quarter. It's 36-20. Hemmingford with the lead. They'll punt when we come back right after this.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
This timeout brought to you by Joe Matthews Shelter Insurance. Punting situation here for Kamen. Kamen, it appears they're going to pressure the punt, and Kamen's going to come up.
And blocked!
He got it blocked by Davey. Ball is loose. Going to be picked up here by Matthew Wood. Wood still running with it. And about the 32-yard line, he's going to be knocked backwards. Forward progress will be out to the 32, but the punt was blocked by Davey. And so an opportunity here for Overton. Remember, earlier they were called for a roughing the punter. They kept a drive alive that would have given Overton great field position. As it turns out, later on, Hemmingford scored on that drive. So now, and I looked at this wrong, it wasn't at the 32. It's about the 29-yard line where Hemmingford had their drive stopped after the punt block. And so pretty good field position here for Overton with 2:20 to go, and they still have a couple of timeouts left.
Huge block.
Huge block. You got to get the touchdown, the two-point conversion, and then probably an onside kick. Schaefer, pressure coming, throws it in underneath. Going to be caught by Kaiser, and Kaiser is knocked out of bounds at about the 25-yard line. Just a short little four-yard gain, but because Kaiser got out of bounds, he was tackled by Skinner. The clock will stop here with 2:16 to go. Well, again, it's pretty simple. Touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick, another touchdown, another two-point conversion. We know what has to be done. It's just not very easy to do that. Shotgun formation here for Schaefer. As it actually will be Hodson in the backfield. Hodson picks up the block, but pressure coming from the backside, and it's going to be a sack. Schaefer is sacked as he is spun around and tackled by Ethan Skinner. That's going to be a loss of about eight. And we're moving inside at 2 minutes to go here in the football game. Kind of surprised they don't use one of their timeouts here. It's going to be third and about 14.
Blitz came from that blind side. Schaefer just didn't see it.
Schaefer's going to step up now. He throws it deep. He's got Cahoy caught at the five. Touchdown. 34-yard strike, and that was a perfectly thrown ball by Joel Schaefer for the score. Now you got a 10-point ball game with a minute 46 to go. You've got to get the two-point conversion. If you get the two, it's a one-possession game. Well, if you don't, you don't. So minute 46 to go after the long touchdown pass. And the all-important two-point conversion coming up here. Schaefer will have Hodson behind him as Schaefer is in the pistol. Gets the snap. He's rolling to his right. Nearly stumbles, throws it in the end zone, and incomplete. And diving for the ball in the end zone was Cahoy. He couldn't come up with it, so it's still a 10-point ball game. The two-point conversion fails, and now the Eagles know they've got to score two more times with a minute 46 to go. It's 36-26. The onside kick is coming up with a minute 46 to go in the game right after this.
Seth Johnson is your Channel Seed dealer located at the end of Main Street in Hildreth, the only seed company that employs a bear. Don't believe us? Stop into the shop in Hildreth and see how Zeke and Bear can help you grow. Channel Seed is a very proud supporter of all of our area athletes and coaches. With great determination and teamwork, our high school athletes have made it this far, which is how Channel Seed does business in your fields. See the difference with Zeke and Bear at Channel Seed located at the end of Main Street in Hildreth.
Nabisco Sports Incorporated wants you to see them before the games begin. They've kept your schools geared up for decades, and they'll do so for many seasons to come. Get your game on at Misco's now. With a storefront at Ord, they're just a phone call away to help you get better equipped for the games you play this year on the court or on the field. Or whether you need to suit up for that next play or show your team pride, Misco's has everything you'll need in the stands as well. A proud supporter of all the area youth and supporters of high school athletics, Misco Sports.
Cahoy to try the onside kick, all important here for the Eagles. He puts his foot into it, big high bounce, and again, it's going to go out of bounds before it covers 10 yards. And again, it is going to be Hemingford football as that onside kick is short. And again, the Eagles have to just kind of watch bounce past him, you know, because again, it you can't touch it until it goes 10 yards. It's not a free ball until that point.
Almost the exact same spot. And if you want to try, just try to aim for that 40, like we had said. Let Hemingford maybe touch the ball first and shovel it right back to you. But if you don't get it to 10 yards, you can't touch it.
That's what happened on the onside kick that I saw actually work last week. It didn't go 10 yards, but it was touched before the 10 yards. Handoff here by Wood to Skinner. Skinner gets the corner down the outside. He's got it at the 20, stays in bounds, cuts it back inside to about the 12-yard line, and it'll be first and goal here for Hemingford. Excuse me, first and 10 from the 12-yard line. As they're in the Case IH red zone here with a minute 38 to go. A couple of timeouts left here for Overton, but that first down, and in fact, the onside kick not succeeding. The last three plays have all gone ways that Overton kind of needed them to go differently for them to be able to pull off the come-from-behind win here.
Yeah, I think they just needed one first down to basically ice this one away.
Yeah, they needed the two-point conversion and the onside kick, and you can't give up a big first down like that. Taking his time, strolling up to the line is Matthew Wood. He'll step in under center. Skinner is in the eye. They'll hand it off to Skinner, and Skinner is hitting the backfield. They'll wrestle him back. There'll be a loss of about one on the play. Overton will take a timeout here, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they called the timeout with a minute 9 to go, but they can only stop the clock one more time. This timeout brought to you by Joe Matthews Shelter Insurance. It's time to see Joe for a check of your auto, home, life, or business insurance. Joe Matthews Shelter Insurance. Of Kearney. And you mentioned that Overton, they fell on the road today to Stewart. So their season, what did I say?
You said Overton.
Oh, okay.
Overton, looks like they will fall. Yeah.
Overton's in serious trouble here. In fact, now it takes a miracle. And Amherst on the road at Stewart fell by a final of 30-8. Right now, Fall City Sacred Heart, their lead is only 8 against Wynot, 40-32, as that game is now in the fourth quarter. So that one's getting kind of interesting there. And as we mentioned here, 36-26. It is a 10-point lead right now for Hemingford, as they'll now have it again, second and 11 from about the 12-yard line. And our scoring updates, we'll bring you the score. Valentino's of Kearney will deliver right to your door. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before or after the game. Call for one of their great pizzas. And remember, they will deliver in the Kearney area. Quick pitch out here to Skinner. Skinner will turn it down the sideline and cuts back in, and he goes in for the touchdown, a 12-yard run. And how did he stay in bounds as he tipped down that sideline? And it's another touchdown for Ethan Skinner, a 190-pound junior who has just run roughshod over Overton in this game. As, again, he has been a real workhorse. He is the absolute definition of that workhorse. A 12-yard run with a minute 2 to go, making it now 42-26. Two-point conversion coming up here as Wood is under center. Pitches it out to Skinner. Skinner cuts to the inside. He gets the two-point conversion. 44-26 with a minute 2 to go, as Hemingford is going to remain undefeated. Overton is going to suffer their first loss of the season here in the state semifinals. A minute 2 to go from Overton when we come back right after this.
At Shelter Insurance, we could tell you that we insure thousands of homeowners, but what we couldn't tell you was their favorite room in the house. So we asked, is it your TV room with the 50-inch screen and the 50-yard line seats? Or is it the kitchen where all those terrific meals and conversations heat up? Or is it the deck where all those spectacular sunsets show up every night just like clockwork? The answer is all of the above.
Whether you're insuring your first home or your dream retirement home, call Agent Joe Methy.
And welcome back here to Overton, as Hemingford
pretty much now is able to pack their bags. They're going to be traveling a little bit further east for their next game. Think about what Hemmingford has done. They've been in Hemmingford, they've driven to Elm Creek, won, went back home, then drove to Overton, now wins, they'll go back home. And now they got an all-expense-paid trip to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. They lead it 44-26. That's a lot of miles those folks are going to put on, and they're happy to do it. Our congratulations to them, and this is going to be a tough loss here for Overton, but it's been a tremendous effort today by Ethan Skinner. High kick here by Matthew Wood, and Wood is going to punch it into the end zone. And Jeffy said 299 yards so far on the day here for young Mr. Ethan Skinner.
Yes, unofficially, Randy, I have him 52 carries for 299 yards and five scores. And it looked like he had maybe another one he could have had, but Wood stole it away from him. So 300 yards and six scores, a heck of an effort by Ethan.
And how many carries?
52.
52. I mean, there's only been a handful of plays that didn't involve him carrying the football. Shotgun formation here for Joel Schaefer. Clock moving as we're in a final minute, and it's going to be a blitz and a sack. Blake Hansen comes up on the sack, and he was initially contacted at about the 5-yard line, driven back. We'll see where they spot it. They're going to spot it all the way back to the 1. And that clock is going to keep moving here as we're inside now with 40 seconds to go in the season for the Overton Eagles. That blitzing game for Hemmingford has again paid off some dividends.
Yeah, and I'm still surprised a little bit to see them sending the blitz up with this game out of the way, but give credit to Hemmingford.
That's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's their game. They're going to hand it off up the middle here for Logan Kaiser. Kaiser is going to gain about 1 yard on the play, and the folks wearing red and black on the far sideline are making a lot of noise for the final 10 seconds of this football game as it's going to reach triple zeros on the scoreboard. Your final, it is Hemmingford 44 and Overton 26 as the season comes to an end here for the Eagles, and the dream season for the Bobcats will continue as they celebrate on the far sideline as Hemmingford is heading to the state football championship, and the Eagles of Overton will congratulate them at midfield in what is a disappointing loss here for Overton. Once again, our final 44-26. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the Misco Sports postgame show right after this timeout.
At Nebraska Land National Bank, local people, local decisions, local ownership is not just our tagline. It's how we do business. Our experienced team of professionals care about this community, and they care about you, our customer. We strive to provide you with the best in customer service and quick local decisions. Visit us at NebraskaLandBank.com or stop by today at 46th Street and 2nd Avenue. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Member FDIC.
Nebraska Land National Bank.
How many of us like all the fancy frills and sugar-coated talk when it comes to buying a big item like our next car or truck? If you're like us at Killian Motors, you just like straight talk. No games, no gimmicks, just upfront honest pricing with no hidden fees or charges after the sale. If you like to shop with no pressure, no hype for your next new or used vehicle and find out about our straight talk where service after the sale is our biggest goal, then try us at Killian Motors. 8th and Central Kearney.
And welcome back here to Overton. Our final in this one, 44-26, as the Eagles season comes to an end here. One step away from playing in Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, as Hemmingford led from beginning to end as they win this one by a final of 44-26. You are listening to the Misco Sports Postgame Show. Misco Sports Incorporated has been keeping you geared up for games for years and will for years to come. Call them at their Ord storefront location today. See them before the games begin. With a great selection to choose from, get your game on now at Misco's. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for all the games you play. And again, it's going to be the headline across the state. Anybody that's taking a look at the action today in eight-man football, on that headline is going to be Ethan Skinner. Skinner, 299 yards, 5 touchdowns on the day, and just a tremendous effort as he carried the ball 52 times. And that is just a lot of work for anybody to carry the football that many times. And he did it very, very well, as Overton just couldn't really kind of find a cure for that. And again, a few mistakes along the way. The roughing the punter penalty, I thought, was absolutely huge. You had the strip sack that gave the short field to Hemmingford early in the third quarter that got them a touchdown, their second touchdown in the span of a minute, that kind of built a little bit of momentum. You change a couple of plays here, and it would be an entirely different football game, but Hey, we can't do that. Hemmingford made those plays happen, and Overton just didn't execute on a couple of things. So when you get to this level, those mistakes are going to get magnified.
Two things. It seemed like Overton early on might have been shooting themselves in the foot and giving this one away. But I think at the end of this game, I think Ethan Skinner and the Hemmingford Bobcats came back. Hemmingford came back and won this game. 299 rushing yards. He had 214 of those in the second half. So I think in the second half, Hemmingford just went out there and got this game. It wasn't so much that Overton lost it. I think Hemmingford won this game.
Yeah, I think so. And that's part of having that. And you can kind of consider it a Cinderella season because they only have three seniors. They're a very young football team. They're trying to figure out how to do the things that Overton has been able to do over the years, you know, make it to Lincoln, make it to that next level. And so, you know, they haven't been able to find a way to do that until today. And obviously the win last week against Elm Creek went a long way to that as well. So you really kind of thought that experience and kind of that savvy would be the advantage of Overton. We kind of said that even as late as halftime, that you kind of felt like Overton was going to be able to step up and make those plays. But it was Hemmingford that was able to do that as they win this one by a final of 44-26. Let's give you our scoring a wrap-up here. Brought to you by Buffalo County Farm Bureau. It started midway through the first quarter. Ethan Skinner, a one-yard run with 5:33 to go in the first quarter. It was 6-0. Those were the only points of the first half. In the third quarter, then, Matthew Wood capitalized on a drive with 6:09 to go in the first quarter. He also had a two-point conversion. It was 14-0 at that point. And then after forcing the strip sack and fumble, Skinner was able to run in the very next play, 20 yards out. The two-point conversion was good. It was 22-0 at that point. And then Overton really started knuckling down and playing much better offensively, but it ends up being too little too late. The ensuing drive, Joel Schaefer is able to hook up with Justin Hodson on a 29-yard pass. That made it 22-6 as the two-point conversion was no good. When we entered the fourth quarter, the first points went to Hemmingford as well. The first play of the fourth quarter, Skinner this time from 22 yards out on the run. That made it 28-6, and then Overton answered right back. Joel Schaefer hit Hayden Cahoy on a 59-yard pass. That made it 28-14 as they went for two and got it. But then Hemmingford, they scored with 5:53 to go in the fourth quarter. Skinner this time from 10 yards out. The run was good. It was 36-14. Again, that lead right back out to 22. And then Schaefer cut into it with a pass to Cahoy from 5 yards away. That made it 36-20 as a two-point conversion was no good. A minute 46 to go, Schaefer hit Cahoy on a 34-yard pass. The two-point conversion was no good. That made it 36-26. The onside kick, the second onside kick of the fourth quarter, again, doesn't go the necessary 10 yards. So Hemmingford got the ball back, and this time Skinner was able to punch it in on a 12-yard run. The two-point conversion was good, and that made your final score in this one 44-26. So they needed to get one of those onside kicks to work out. Obviously, there was the roughing the punter penalty early in the second half that helped turn the tide of the game as well. Your Buffalo County Farm Bureau brought you our wrap-up. Did you know that you could wrap up all of your insurance from life, home, auto, and business under one policy, saving you money and giving you peace of mind by knowing that what you work and play hard for is all taken care of? Call today for your free quote from Buffalo County Farm Bureau. We're still tolling up some numbers, and we'll continue with more of the Misco Sports Post Game Show right after this.
Five Points Bank. We're proud our bankers have the ability to take care of customers in the Kearney area. One of our bank's true differences is our bankers have a true Kearney connection, important in providing the best in banking. Our staff is proud they've lived in Kearney for years. Many have been lifelong residents. Having a true Kearney connection means caring and being involved in the community and committed to making banking work for the people of Kearney. Bank with Five Points Bank. The better bank. The bank with a true Kearney connection. Good things will happen.
At Thunderhead Brewing, we're known for, well, our brewing. Now, if we put that much thought into what we put in your glass, just think of the care we take in what we put on your plate. Relaxed family dining with delicious appetizers, pizzas, and calzones all made in a wood stone brick oven. Before the game, after the game, weekends, weekdays, lunch, or dinner, Thunderhead offers great casual dining with a unique menu in a family-friendly environment. See what we've got brewing. Cooking. Thunderhead Brewing, just east of Central Avenue on 21st Street, Kearney.
And welcome back here to Overton. The sun is setting in the western horizon, and the western team is the one that's going to be heading east here as Hemmingford comes up with a 44-26 win over Overton. And we kind of talked about it before, Jeff, that Ethan Skinner was really a very tough man to stop today. When we take a look at the final numbers in this game, it certainly bears itself out in a 44-26 win for the Bobcats.
52 carries for Skinner, 299 official yards. I'm going to try and go back and maybe find him a yard there. Five touchdown runs for Skinner, 214 of which were in the second half, 315 total rushing yards for the Bobcats. Again, 300 of those came from Skinner. Wood only needed to throw the ball eight times through it, completed four of those for 38 yards. He also had that rushing touchdown from 1 yard out. Foster, his leading receiver, 22 receiving yards. Turek, 16 as well. So total 38 passing yards, 353 total yards for the Bobcats. Go to the home team, Overton. The Eagles will suffer their first loss of the season. We'll see how they did it. Schaefer had 19 carries for 34 yards. It felt like he maybe would have been close to a century, Randy, but he just kept getting sack and sack after Hemmingford brought all those blitzes time after time. He ended up 34 rushing yards. He was 15 of 28 through the air, though. 204 passing yards, four touchdowns. Cahoy was his man. Seven receptions for Cahoy, 126 yards, three touchdowns. Ryan had three scores for Cahoy, excuse me. Ryan, three receptions, 49 yards. Hodgson, two catches, 32 yards. And Kaiser, two for 29. So a lot of big plays there. They just couldn't get it via the ground game. 204 through the air for Overton, 62 via the ground, 266 total yards. They had six penalties, Randy, 40 yards there. Seemed like those six penalties, granted, you know, you never want to have a penalty, but those were big penalties,
yeah,
man. Big
one on a couple of different drives that now you got to do something entirely different than having your kind of power run game. And Overton really didn't get the power run game going. As you mentioned, only 62 yards rushing the football, 204 yards in the air. That is not the game plan that I'm sure Overton kind of had coming into the football game.
Cahoy, you know, we listened to the pregame interviews. Similar to Skinner, a lot of build, a lot of rushing yards, similar, 1,500 apiece. Cahoy, only 12 rushing yards. They had to get the ball to him out in space as a receiver. He had a big game through the air, but you would have think to maybe try to win this game, you would have seen him get a few more big carries, and he just didn't have it.
And the game plan evolves and changes when you find yourself down by 22 points as a couple of, that strip sack after the touchdown Hemmingford was able to have in the early part of the third quarter. Suddenly a six-point ball game, you're down by 22. It's just an entirely different game at that point, so they did a nice job of kind of scrapping their way back. We're going to take a quick break here. Once again, our final 44-26, and hopefully we'll be able to talk with Overton's head coach. We'll come back right after this.
At Thunderhead Brewing, we're known for, well, our brewing. Now, if we put that much thought into what we put in your glass, just think of the care we take in what we put on your plate. Relaxed family dining with delicious appetizers, pizzas, and calzones all made in a wood stone brick oven. Before the game, after the game, weekends, weekdays, lunch, or dinner, Thunderhead offers great casual dining with a unique menu in a family-friendly environment. See what we've got brewing. Cooking. Thunderhead Brewing, just east of Central Avenue on 21st Street, Kearney.
Well, tough one here for the Overton Eagles. A final of 44-26. Hemmingford makes it all the way to the state football championship game, and it's one game short for head coach Paul Heisenfeld for the Overton Eagles. Coach, tough game. Just really kind of felt like in that first half, just couldn't get anything kind of going your way. Just had trouble building any kind of momentum.
Yeah, you know, the kids played really hard, and I don't know what to say. You know, it was a grueling first half, and we had our chances to score. We just didn't put it in. And, you know, we had a couple times throughout the year struggled on that, and I was hoping we kind of got that fixed, but just didn't fall for us today.
And then the strip sack, I mean, there was a couple plays that it really kind of felt like you were starting to build some momentum because you didn't score at the end of the first half, but offensively you had to feel pretty good going to the locker room because you were starting to move the ball fairly well. And then the strip sack, suddenly you're down by 22 points. It's an entirely different game plan that you're going to have to run with at that point.
Yeah, you know, we thought we had a great chance coming out of the half, you know, made a stop, and you just couldn't get that offense rolling. And that's just the way it went. You know, they tried, but we finally found some stuff that worked, and maybe it was just a little too late.
We were kind of surprised because Cahoy had done such a great job running the football. You guys started splitting him out, and he had a nice game as a receiver. Was that something you kind of saw on film? Was that the game plan going in, or is that kind of what changed and evolved when you found yourself down, that you had to do something different?
Well, it was just something that we had to roll with. We practice, our run game all the time, and Cahoy's been doing such a great job running the ball, and our linemen been doing a great job running the ball, but it just wasn't happening today. They were balling us up, and so when we got down, we had to do something else, and that's what we did, pass to him.
Overton head coach Paul Heisenveld, kind enough to join us after his team's 44-26 loss here to Hemmingford. I can't talk about this game without talking a little bit about Ethan Skinner. We had him for right at 300 yards rushing on the game. Very, very difficult young man to stop, and it wasn't just him. They blocked for him very, very well, always kind of had that lead blocker out for him. Talk a little bit about how difficult it is to kind of stop their running game.
Oh, yeah. He had a heck of a game. I would have to say we just didn't play our defensive game of the year. We needed to play a good defense, and he just kept on finding little cracks and nicks here and just kept on running hard, and we were tackling high and just not getting it done. And that was the biggest thing that I seen. Our usual defense is pretty hard-nosed, and today we were kind of tackling high and letting them get yards on us.
And a few other mistakes as well. I mean, there was a few five-yard penalties that kind of took you out of a short yardage situations. Obviously, the roughing the punter penalty was kind of huge. It seemed like, I don't want to say they were getting the breaks because they made a lot of what happened, but you play a good football team, you can't make mistakes like that.
Yeah, that was the thing, is we just weren't limiting our mistakes. I mean, we had chances at the goal line, then we, flags, and that's the one thing, that's probably the biggest disappointment today is all of the mistakes we made. If we cut those mistakes out, this might be a different ballgame.
Unfortunately, you have to say goodbye to a group of seniors. What have they kind of meant to you in this program?
Oh, huge. I came in 3 years ago. I talked to Coach Snodgrass when he, when I was coming in, he said, this is a really, really good group of kids, and you're going to love coaching them, and they're going to, very, very talented. And they worked really, really hard today. The cards didn't roll our way.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, our final on this one was 44-26 as a tough loss here at home for Overton. Gracious, the yep. coach had to spend a little bit of time with us to kind of talk about it. It's always hard to say goodbye to those folks, but the folks wearing red on that far sideline, this is the best season in that school's history as they're going to play for a state football championship. So congratulations, our hats off to Hemmingford. But a tough one here for Overton to kind of go this way because they didn't feel like they played their best ball game, and probably they didn't.
No, and it would have been interesting, Randy. I feel like probably Hemmingford played the best ball game of the season, right? We haven't seen any of them except for the one against Elm Creek last week. But Elm Creek stuck with them punch for punch, it felt like, until late in that game. So Overton, I feel like Hemmingford brought their absolute A game, and it maybe Overton didn't quite bring their A game. I mean, they still played real well. They played maybe an A-minus game. And in a state semifinal, you got to be clicking on offense, defense, and special teams. It just seemed like Overton couldn't get anything going offensively, and that seemed to be the difference in the ballgame.
Yeah, and they're walking off here feeling like they could have done better.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the way it goes sometimes. So once again, your final, 44-26. Overton's only loss of the season comes in the state semifinals to the Hemmingford Bobcats. Congratulations to the Cats as they'll be heading to Lincoln for the eight-man championship game in Class D1, and we'll have all six state championship games for you next week starting Monday right here on ESPN Radio. Once again, our final, 44-26. Jeff, thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, Randy.
Jeff, for Jeff Babel, I'm Randy Bushcutter, and our engineer, Merritt Lawson, back in the studios. Thanks for joining us. Good night, everybody.